Welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Well, how do you do? What's happening, Teresa Strasser?
Everything's good. Feeling a lot better than yesterday.
Feeling better. Yeah. She had food poisoning or... Well, like I said, I think food poisoning gets overused. At least the flu, maybe food poisoning. Dave Damashek in studio. How say you, Dave?
Don't worry about it.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I'm focused on the jerk list. A lot of hot stuff to get to.
No, I understand. You're like a fighter preparing to get
in the
ring.
Thank you. Thank you for understanding.
I'm looking forward to it.
As a matter of fact, Dave doesn't even have his headphones plugged in this morning. Well, he does, but it's into an iPod. He's just listening to speed metal. And he's punching himself. He's punching himself by getting ready. I like when people punch themselves or get a teammate to punch them.
Does that work?
For the other team.
It's nice for the guys punching you. It's not great for you. I feel like I could get up for the sport, whether it be golf, badminton, bowling, or even football, by not having to punch myself or be punched.
You don't see a lot of that stuff going on before the spelling bee or the Texas Hold'em sporting events.
Well, to be fair, the cameras usually aren't rolling before the tournament fires up. We don't know what goes on back there. Yeah. I like when boxers prepare themselves by punching themselves in the head a little bit. Once in a while, they'll do that. I like to see that in other forms, other sports. Like, guy goes up for a layup drill, but he stuffs his own ball. And then yells, yeah! Not in my house.
I like when the skiers do it. You know, they put the camera on them, and they're, like, visualizing the slope before they ski down it.
Yeah. At least that's something they're going to do. I guess getting punched is something that's going to happen, but hopefully you'll stop hitting yourself once the bell rings and the other guy gets to hit you. It'd be sad if the guy was hitting you and you were still in the mode where you're punching yourself and you're both beating the crap out of you.
Be interesting if there was a schizophrenic who did that, like you say with the basketball. You know, like suddenly he reversed personalities as he went up to shoot the ball and he blocked his own shot. What's he doing?
I think you got an idea for a Whoopi Goldberg movie. And I suggest you don't talk any more about it. You just start writing. You just start writing. Not in this room, but start writing. All right, who's here? John.
How's it going?
John, you're 24. You drove out from Phoenix.
All night long.
We spoke to you. You work for a defense contractor.
Yeah.
You do something on computers.
Yeah, software engineer.
Software engineer. And you drove out. What time did you leave Phoenix?
We left at 10:30. We got here at about 3:20.
And now what have you done between 3:30 or so and now?
We went across the street to IHOP.
Yeah. We were there about 12 hours ago ourselves. Well, make it 24 or something like that. It's probably about 18 hours ago we were there eating. We got thrown out of the building because they're having a fire drill, so we went over there to have ourselves a grand slam, or is that Denny's, and talk about the show. So you just sat there and killed time.
More or less. You know, flirted with the waitress a little bit.
So you had to kill 2 hours plus, and then you just walked across the street over here.
Bingo.
Now, you want to get tickets for the Playboy Mansion on the 26th.
Do I ever.
And you brought a friend of yours with you?
Yeah, just in case I don't have the, wherewithal to drive home.
I understand, because we are going to scramble your brain. As a matter of fact, when we're done with you, I don't know if you're going to get to go to work for the computer guy anymore or the defense contractor anymore. You may be reduced to nothing. Yes, you may have to move home. Where do your folks live?
The other side of town in Phoenix, in Glendale.
You may have to move back to your old room that's with the football. With the bed that's shaped like a race car in the football comforter.
I've always wanted one of those.
All right. Yeah, I wanted that one, too. Wow, but that was... let me just say this. Is stuff cheaper now or easier to get, or were our parents just cheaper and dumber? You know what I mean? Like, I remember when I was 10 passing a store that had that race car bed, that mini kid race car bed. And, you know, I remember going, wow, man, the holy grail of mini beds. And my parents were like, what else do you want, Your Highness? You want to build a rocket ship and go to Mars? Because, I mean, this is way, I mean, don't even think. I mean, this wasn't even in the realm of expectations. And I thought, well, of course, we treated it as if it was an actual Italian sports car instead of just some plastic and some plywood and a little mattress. But I remember thinking, oh, this one's way out of reach. Like, you know, there's that one, there's those things you think you can get as a kid where you go, hey, man, I really want that. And you keep harping on it. And then there's this stuff where you go, wow, that's neat. But you realize it's no way. This is... Not a chance you're ever going to get this one. And that's what the race car bed was for me when I was growing up. But seems like a kid could have one now, doesn't it? Are things cheaper? Are they cheaper to manufacture?
Yeah, thanks to IKEA. I think a lot of furniture is cheap.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. All right. So anyway, we don't want to digress too much. John, you're 24. You're from Phoenix. You're going to win yourself some of these Playboy tickets again on the 26th. We'll be there that night. We'll be doing our little Halloween show. And what you have to do to earn them is you're going to put the headphones on. We also have an eye shade, Big Tad. Big Tad, you've tested it out.
Unfortunately, yes.
We have. Now, what do we have? It's like an MP3 thing, or what do we have?
It's a regular CD that is on a loop. Mm-hmm. And sing and fall.
Yeah, but a regular CD. Now, Tad almost went insane just for the 4 minutes it took him to set it up. But it's a CD, but doesn't a CD only hold, 45 minutes worth of music?
Oh, we got about an hour 40 on this thing.
About an hour 40, and then we'll start it new when it runs out.
I'll come back in and do it all over
again. So we've got the timing worked out. Right.
Yes.
Now we have this on a loop. This is John Mark Carr, the pedophile. Oh, yeah, I'm already going nuts. Now we're going to put the blindfold on you, and we're going to put the headphones on you, and this is what you'll hear for the next approximately 4 hours. And I think it'll get burned in your psyche. And we talk about stunts. You know, it's one thing, staple your nutsack to your inner thigh or get a golf ball hit off your ass. That's over fairly quickly. It's painful, but there's no long-term damage done. This, I wonder about.
I'd rather get molested.
Done and done.
Have to listen to this.
Done and done, John.
Yeah, I'm getting a little more worried as time goes on. It seemed like a good idea yesterday morning, but now, you know.
And then I think when we get you out of there at about 9:45, I think we should have you read a prepared statement. We've got to work that out, too. We'll videotape it and we'll send it to the United States.
This is not included in the Geneva Convention of things you can do to a prisoner. That dark.
Yes. All right. Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. Put the headphones on.
Godspeed.
We'll blindfold you. I'm hoping he becomes disoriented and loses his bowels, loses his sense of direction.
There's really no telling. I mean, what kind of psychological damage could we possibly be doing?
I don't know. He's blindfolded. He's sitting on a stool in the corner. He has his headphones on, and Big Tad has fired up the falling. Again, I got this clip from watching Entertainment Tonight whenever the John Mark Carr thing hit about 2 months ago when they were talking about JonBenet Ramsey. This is the guy who said he molested or said he killed her and wrote her love letters. And I found this. They had a clip of him singing this at a wedding from 1987 or something. Devil is due. He doesn't sound bad on the acoustic guitar. Look, when one of your buddies pipes up and says, oh, listen, I'll do a song at your wedding, you could do a lot worse than this.
Well, you then made a producer, Angie, track down the song, which turned out to be originally recorded by a duo, mm-hmm. LeBlanc and Carr.
Right. Now, yes, and we tracked down...
Was it LeBlanc?
LeBlanc or Carr. I can't remember which one we tracked down. Either way. I think we tracked down Carr, actually, and he's a born-again Jesus freak, and now he sings faith-based music, which is just comical to have one of his songs
sung
by a pedophile. He also mentioned, and the music industry is really, really, really funny. So I asked about the song. He said it was a big hit in the, later 70s or mid 70s. I don't know, 77 or something like that. And he said the other guy, LeBlanc, basically bugged out and said, I'm not going on the road, so screw it. So when the song became a hit and he had to then go out on the road as LeBlanc and Carr, LeBlanc wasn't even with him. It was just Carr and a guy who was playing LeBlanc when they went out on the road. You know, there is a little... there's a little time lapse sometimes between the time you cut the record and the time it becomes a hit, if it ever does. Sometimes it's a year later. Sometimes things sit around for a long time and they become a hit a year, 18 months, 2 years down the road. Lives change. You just cut a record, nothing ever happened. And as far as you know, I mean, imagine you go into the studio, you're a struggling musician, you sit down in the studio with your partner for couple of weeks, you cut a record, and then 6 months goes by, nothing happens. You got to move, you got to get a job, you got to get on with your life, you remarry, or you move, or you do whatever, and then it's a big hit a year later. Didn't want to go back on the road, so Carr went. Carr not excited about the fact that the pedophile was singing his praises while he was singing to Jesus. Yes. Brusket just poked John with a hockey stick.
Make sure he's awake.
With one hand, but with the other hand, he's feeding his face. Brusket is fast becoming a parody of himself. He was just eating a bag of Doritos at 6:05 in the a.m., and now he's shoving bread down his
throat. Well, sometimes men gain the pregnancy weight when their wives are pregnant.
Yeah. My stomach's growling like a lion.
Sympathy.
Brusket has sympathy areola, so I was just saying. I know. I walked into our office after the show yesterday, and I saw a little baggie of Cocoa
Ham.
Pebbles sitting in that corner, and I thought, this must have fallen out of some little school kid's lunch pail. No, it's Brusket.
Keep eating. And eating until there's nothing left.
All right, so John from Phoenix has the I'm falling in a loop in his headphones. Now, look, he's sitting over there. He's got his eye shades on. He can't hear us. He can't see us. Tad is dancing in front of him. He has no response. I think he's going to fall asleep, but that doesn't matter.
That's all right by you.
We will keep poking him with the hockey stick, though.
That's fine, too. Even if he falls asleep, it's still just going to burn into his psyche. I say if he falls asleep, it burns in deeper.
It's worse.
And I don't know that you can ever get this out. He could be in his 80s. He could be on his deathbed. And if you played him, like, if he never heard this again, and then 50 years from now, he's just lying on his deathbed, and I fired this up, his eyes would get big as saucers. Probably be the last, you know, then he'd clutch his heart and die. But he'd remember it very well.
He'll be at the Playboy Mansion in the corner, rocking back and forth, singing Falling.
All right. Well, what's on tap for today? We have Louis C.K., comedian's comedian, Louis C.K., coming in. Also, Dave Damashek's jerk list. Mm-hmm. You got his game face on. We're going to do a little bit called Kung Fu Flute. Yeah. Or actually, it's Kung Flute. Smarter. Mm-hmm. I'll explain. It'll be good. Also, we got Lycus on our next break. He'll be calling in and helping us out. You know, I was thinking about doing a topic where people call in next break. Hold on, Sarah's on the phone. Sarah?
Yeah.
Sarah?
Yes.
You're
very awesome.
What's going on, my dear?
I just got out of the loony bin.
Oh, you did? All right. Well, hang on a second.
Sure.
Okay. This is Sarah. She's 72. She's the meth head family.
Adam's on the phone.
That's her. She's dying. Her back's horrible. Her daughter hates her. Her cat doesn't like her. It's a tough life. We'll speak to her in a second. Lycus is also going to be calling in. I got something to do with Lycus. I'll explain to you after this.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. Let's find out what you have to say on the Jerk Hotline.
What's up, Dave? You know who's a jerk today? Oceanography. I hate it. It's a jerk.
To nominate your jerk, call the Jerk Hotline at 323-930-7318. Dave's jerk list coming up later in the show. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Mm-hmm. Well, 866-901-ADAMS, the phone number. Sarah, our 72-year-old meth head, is on the phone. Sarah?
Yes.
How are you doing?
Okay, I just got out last night. I've been there for almost 14 days.
You're in the loony bin.
Yes. And they almost never keep anybody till over 72 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not a pleasant experience.
Well, I don't know if I would look at that as a compliment, that most times they keep people for 3 days max, but they kept you for 10 times that amount.
Well, I just figured the doctor was fine enough.
Yeah. Hey, Tom Likas?
I'm sorry?
Tom Likas, radio great Tom Likas is on the phone.
Yeah, the left is hanging.
Hello, Adam.
Hello, Tom. There you are. Good to speak to you.
Thank you. Hello, Sarah.
Yeah. Hello.
How are you, dear?
I'm fine now.
Now, Tom, for you and the listeners, we met Sarah some months back when she called in. She has a daughter. Her daughter's addicted to crack or meth or methadone or something like that. She was abused in her marriage.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, had a husband try to kill her, actually stomp her to death.
Damn.
Kick her with... what's that? Kick her with a steel-toe boot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Woo-wee.
Yeah, you sound concerned, Tom. I know your heart breaks.
Yes, it does, dear.
I like Tom. Tom has a couple kinds of laughs. He has the I'm genuinely tickled laugh. Then he has this isn't funny, but I'll laugh anyway laugh. And then he has the holy Christ, this guy tried to stab his girlfriend, but I have to pretend like it's funny. And it's always funny when some guy calls in and he's like, hey, Tom, I'm from Arleta and I'm 27.
Yes.
And I was kicked off the sheriff's. Sheriff. Well, I wasn't actually a sheriff, but I was going to be a sheriff, but they cut me because they found some stuff in my file.
Oh.
But I've been listening to you for a long time, man. And my girlfriend, she's 8 months pregnant.
Uh-huh.
But I came home the other day and I found her looking through my wallet.
Mm-hmm.
So I kicked the bitch to the curb. And then I tried to hit her with the cinder block. Yeah, she's in the hospital now.
Well, she deserved that.
Yeah. And then I went home and I found her mother. And I hit her with a shoe. Meanwhile, Tom is thinking, holy Christ, I've created a monster. This guy's on a killing spree, but he's laughing his ass off the whole time.
I love that. Sarah, let me ask you a question, dear.
Certainly.
You are 72.
That's correct.
And a meth head. Do you have a nice set of knockers?
Did you have... How were your knockers in their prime, Sarah?
And how are they now?
I was 34, 24, 34, and I danced.
Ooh, wait.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to sign that rack. Sarah, do they have Sharpies in the halfway house, dear?
No.
So, Sarah, why did you get locked up in the loony bin for 2 weeks?
I guess I tried to kill myself.
Well, Tom, that's not... Tom, she tried to kill herself. That's not funny.
Yes, it is.
Oh, you think it's funny, Sarah.
Huh? Well, I do, because at the last minute, I called 911.
I see. You didn't want to kill yourself.
Well, I didn't. I was ambivalent about it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
Can I...
I wanted to die, but my body wouldn't let it.
I see. Can I make this observation?
Yes.
Because I called 911 once, and it was busy, and that was for some kooky old lady whose car broke down on a busy street. I feel like half the calls to 911 are sort of self-inflicted.
Yes.
They're my cat's being chased by a raccoon, and it's up in the tree. I'm trying to kill myself. My stepdaughter threatened me with a curling iron. Half the calls to 911 are sort of self-generated from inside the house, either a family member, a pet, or something you do to yourself.
Yes.
I don't want you people clogging up the lines, because the one time I do call 911 because there is an intruder in the kitchen at 4 a.m., I would like somebody to be on the other line.
Yes.
Not you calling for the fifth time because stepdad had a few too many nips and he's pulled out a shoehorn with a horse head on the end of it and he's trying to joust with you.
Well, can we ask Sarah? Sarah, how did you try to kill yourself?
Oh, wow. Oh, boy.
Sarah. A cocktail with pills and schnapps and vodka.
Schnapps?
And coding coffee.
Really? Candidate for definitely not a Jew.
Exactly.
Trying to kill yourself with schnapps, dear.
Schnapps.
and vodka.
Adam, I have said for a very long time, and I will say to you, T, and I will say to you, Pie Face, and of course to you, Sarah, I have said for a long time that women are the cheapest creatures on the face of the earth. Sarah, did you pay for your own meth, dear?
I didn't use meth. My daughter used it.
But I know how it goes. I've heard the story a thousand times. Same thing happened with my grandmother. You hook up with some sap. You give him a little rub and tug. He buys you some schnapps and some Smirnoff, and you try to kill yourself in your crappy apartment. It's a story as old as time, right, Tom?
Yes, it is a vicious cycle. And I can't count off the top of my head all of the schnapps death stories I've heard here.
Well, I want to ask
you,
Tom.
You haven't counted any.
Sarah, hold on, dear. Cool your jets for just one second.
Oh, wow.
Let me speak to Tom now. Now, Dave and I saw Tom out a few nights back when we went to the Kings game.
Yes.
Conway and Whitman, who are on in the evenings out here on Free FM, were out there. Funny radio team out there. We hung out with them. Tom Likas came in.
Yum.
Now, Tom, of course, you remember that. And you and Whitman, who does an impersonation of you, locked antlers right there in the middle of the luxury box.
Yes, well, Adam, thank you for bringing this up.
He accused you of not having any material. I said to Tom, look in the mirror. You have to generate more material. Yes, and when I say you, I mean Tom Likas. Yes. I don't mean you.
Well, look, I want to be very clear about this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is basically the way I see it. Brian Whitman has no material.
Right.
And, I mean, I can do an impression, but he should do jokes.
Right.
It's funny.
I mean, he should do Henny Youngman material.
Yeah.
I mean, for example, how about this? I'm Tom Likas. I went to my doctor, and he said, you're going to live to your 60. I said, I am 60. He said, see, what did I tell you?
Well, it is funny, Tom, but I say you shouldn't be doing that. You're the great Tom Likas. I say Whitman should be doing the material as you.
Adam, I have to tell you that my wife makes food fit for a king. Here, king. Here you go, boy.
That's a dog. That's good. Might she be so heavy set that when she sits around the house, she actually sits around the house?
Yes.
Sarah?
I went to the doctor, and he said, you have 6 months to live.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I can't pay my bill, and he gave me another 6 months.
That's good stuff. Shecky Likas.
Good for you.
Mm. Hey, Sarah?
Yeah.
Do you have any old jokes for Tom Likas?
Old jokes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this guy was driving down the freeway and saw a little pig at the side of the road.
Oh, boy.
And he picked it up and took it to a vet, and the vet said it was fine. And his best friend saw him walking the pig around on a leash and the guy said, what am I going to do with this pig? And he said, take it to the zoo. So 2 days later, he said, I'm still watching the pig, and he said, I told you to take that pig to the zoo. He said, I did, and we had such a good time the next day at Disneyland.
Ah, I see.
Unbelievable.
Sarah, not bad. We put you on the spot.
Yeah. Yes, but I think, Adam, I think Brian Whitman needs to include more jokes.
I do, too.
But he does Tom Likas. Did you hear about the guy who went home to his wife? He's married to her for 20 years with a duck underneath his arm. And he said, this is the pig I've been sleeping with for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
She said, honey, that's a duck. And he said, I was talking to the duck. 1-800-5800-COM is that telephone number.
I agree. I say Whitman has to start doing jokes instead of just that weird, uncomfortable Tom Likas laugh when one of the callers...
I agree, Adam.
One of the callers calls up and he says, you know, Tom, I've been dating this chick for about 2 years, and one night she wouldn't put out. So I tied her up with baling twine and I hung her from the rafter and I started beating her like a pinata until blood came from her ears.
Yes, right you did. Right you did, son. If you'd like to hear our show the way nature intended it, go to my website between 3 and 8 Pacific. It's blowmeuptom.com.
What if somebody would like to email you?
Thank you for asking, team. My email address is my name. Tom at blowmeuptom.com.
All right. Well, Tom, nice work as usual.
Thank you.
I know you can't make things right with Sarah, but I think you put a little salve on her wound. Sarah, do you feel better?
Oh, just 100%.
You sound like dynamite.
I'd like to meet your daughter, Sarah.
I'm sorry?
I'd like to meet your daughter.
Where is your daughter, Sarah? Do you guys...
I would like to know that.
Oh, you still haven't found her?
Yes. Tell her.
Where she is, or if she is.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell her we'll be doing a remote broadcast at McDuffie's in Tempe, Arizona. Daughter, come on out and meet all my boys.
Are you and Dino going to be there, Tom?
Yes, Dino and Gary Zabransky.
All right. Well, Tom, we need to take a break.
Yes, from Los Angeles. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Thank you. The great Tom Likas, everybody.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Sarah, you come in studio. I want to kick her tires. Let's get her to come by. We'll work out a little room on the calendar for her. Tom, thank you very much. God bless you. I'm trying to think for a second. Where do we go here? Yes, we have John, who has the loop of John Mark Carr's falling in his head. Plays every 8 seconds, so, and it's probably repeated itself 65 times by now. He has the blackout shades on. It is sensory deprivation. Bruskett is standing in front of him. Bruskett is poking at him with a hockey stick every 5 minutes or so just to keep him going. T, what's coming up in the news?
Well, we spoke a little bit about Sarah Evans, who left Dancing with the Stars. Last night, she gave an exclusive interview to Tom Bergeron, not something that happens to him a lot. I'll have that. And also, why Wesley Snipes is on the run.
All right. All that after this.
Here's what's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
What up, peeps? Jay Sill here to turn this mother out. Funny man, Louis C.K. Dave's jerk list. Hey, Dave, bing, bang, boom, babe. Keep it short. The guy who made a movie portraying Jesus as a black man. Hey, just like Jack.
You're not black, Jack.
Hey, homie, why are you tripping? Aight. And we'll give away more passes to our Blotto in the Grotto Playboy Mansion Party. Hey, here's a good challenge. Book some hot ass in the studio for a change. Because apparently it's friggin' impossible. Silver, out.
Thanks, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Who's all wrong about that, Jack Silver? He is a funny cat.
He cracks me up.
Yeah, who said he didn't have a sense of humor? Where were we? That's right, the news with Teresa Strasser.
Former Congressman Mark Foley now says he plans to reveal the name of the clergyman he says abused him as a teenager, a move his attorney said would deflate claims that Foley fabricated the story as an excuse for sending sexually explicit emails to teenage parents. Oh,
please don't let it be me. Let me tell you how narcissistic I am. When I drive in the car and they do that thing where they go, hey, celebrity birthdays, celebrities celebrating their birthdays, I keep my fingers crossed. Please mention the Ace Man, even though it's not in the month that my birthday's in. But on the downside, I feel the same way. When they're going to come out and say whose baby it is or who molested them 70 years ago or whatever, please don't let it be me.
Well, in this case, I don't think it is. And I should mention, Foley has not been charged with a crime. He's still in seclusion in rehab. It'll be interesting to see what shakes out. In other pedophilia news, John Mark Carr, back in the news. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen this TV psychiatrist named Dr. Keith Ablo. He has a syndicated show. Now, recently, he had an interview with John Mark Carr. Mm-hmm. And according to Carr's lawyer, Ablo's people wined and dined him. Apparently, they got him drunk before conducting the interview. So Carr's lawyer is trying to squelch this interview. They secretly, you know, they do a pre-tape before shows, and they secretly recorded the pre-taped interview. So here is a little piece of the secretly recorded interview between Dr. Ablow and John Mark Carr.
Are you willing to say on camera that it is morally wrong for an adult to be with a child romantically?
Uh-huh. Mm-mm.
touching that.
No. You won't say it's wrong?
I'm not touching that subject.
I'm giving you the opportunity to say it is morally wrong for an adult to be with a kid.
I'm not going to answer that question.
Damn, you don't want to incriminate yourself by saying it's wrong. Would you say that it would be wrong to beat baby snow seals with a bataka bat? Next question. I am not going there. You're not going to trick me. I know you slick news people. Try to get you to admit that necrophilia might be wrong, or that killing defenseless creatures is wrong, or putting the M80 up the tuchus of the neighbor's cash. I'm sorry. I'm not going there. Next question.
Well,
smart, shrewd.
Very. Well,
he'd make a good politician, this cat. I say he runs for Senate. He'd get my vote. This is a shrewd customer. By the way, I love when all these people are in the news for a reason. I love when Monica Lewinsky is in the news for sucking off the president. And then she comes on a talk show and she refuses to talk about anything but her new line of purses. Yeah, that's why you're in the news. You're such a famous designer. We want to talk to you about the reason you're in the news. But it works both ways. If you land on the moon, we'll talk to you about landing on the moon. If you win the Indy 500, we'll talk to you about the Indy 500. Only other thing is if you claim you killed JonBenet Ramsey, then we need to talk about that. Or if you're on top of the president, we need to talk about that. We can save your personal line of handbags for later.
Yes, where else do you go with the John Mark Carr interview?
These people are so narcissistic that they think, well, it's me. I'm just famous, so I'll go on the news, but I'm going to avoid this uncomfortable topic. That's the only reason you're there. You weren't the quarterback for the Super Bowl winning team this year.
Well, country star Sarah Evans was famous as a country musician. Then she became even more famous when she went on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
And now the publicity continues, but in a very negative direction. She pulled out of Dancing with the Stars because of her ugly divorce. This is her. Suds in a bucket. Now,
suds in a bucket. Now, Spunk in a hamper is the name of the album that her husband's going to cut.
Well, thank you for saying that, because that leads me into the allegations that she is making that he was watching porn in front of the kids, that he had hundreds of pictures of his erect penis on the computer, other allegations that he went on Craigslist looking for a three-way. It gets uglier and uglier, and last night, she actually went on Dancing with the Stars, and there was a one-on-one between the host, Tom Bergeron, and her here.
Must have been uncomfortable.
It is a dance with vagueness.
Mm-hmm.
Something happened, and it's very personal, it was very traumatic, and it was very hard for my children. Things drastically went downhill, you know, 100 miles an hour. You know, I was on the phone with, you know, my family all night, and we were all agreeable that you cannot continue the show. You can't leave your son, who's traumatized right now.
Mm-hmm. I do those interviews once in a while where I bring my children up, and then I pause and say, of course I mean my cars. Because they are my children, Tom. Well, her husband should be heading to rehab any second now, if what I know about society's right. Yes,
well,
great country singer.
He actually is a Republican who ran for Congress back in 2002. And
Perfect.
As of today, there are more. The sexual allegations are one thing, but now she's alleging, as she did in her divorce filings, that there was maybe $274,000 that they had in a special account for tithing, which is giving money to the church.
Mm-hmm.
He took the $274,000 out of the church account and into an account with just his name on it, thereby, in effect, stealing almost $300,000 from him. From his wife.
Is it just me? I know politicians have never been the best and the brightest, but it used to be that they were just stupid guys that talked out of the right side of their mouth. I mean, it used to be they were like car salesmen, just guys that were mediocre students with horrible senses of humor who got into something that where they could essentially sell themselves instead of used RVs. Now they're criminals. They seem to have crossed the line. The politicians, the guys who ran for something at some point. I miss the old days when they were just double-talking jackasses who had horrible policies and took a bunch of money from special interest groups. I miss the old days of politics. Now, they're pedophiles, they're sexual deviants, they're criminals. I miss the old simpler time when there were just stupid people that were trying to pull the wool over the public's eyes.
Makes you wistful.
Now, yeah, really
another,
does.
Another possible criminal, Wesley Snipes, the actor.
I did not see this one coming.
He is in big trouble. Yesterday, he was indicted on 8 counts of tax fraud for knowingly cheating the government out of $12 million in bogus tax returns. On top of that, the government is accusing him of failing to file returns altogether for 6 years. Now, he got his taxes done by what appears to be a shady firm called American Rights Litigators. And one of these guys is already has turned himself in. But Snipes has not been arrested because the feds do not know where he is. Mm-hmm. There are some reports that he's fled. If he does get convicted of these charges, he faces 16 years in prison, which is quite a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like every couple of years he gets busted for walking through an airport with an Uzi or something like that. I like the guy who's one of the guys who goes through the metal detector and finds out he has a .44 Magnum that's stuffed into his underpants and then says he forgot it was there, which is scarier. Just a guy who's so casual with his loaded piece that he walks around with it. No, oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, oh there it is. I didn't know that was there. Like he had chapstick in his pocket and it was in the jeans he wore 2 days before and he pulled them on before he went to the airport. Oh, what is that? Oh yeah, here's the banana clip and the silencer.
Well, these American rights litigators, they redid his tax return from 97. Originally it had his income at $19.2 million, and after they were done, it went down to zero. So I'm not sure.
I gotta hook up with these people.
Not sure how they did that. All right. Lastly, Chris Rock's mom is suing Cracker Barrel, the restaurant, for racial discrimination. Mm. Apparently, she went in to have a meal. She waited an hour. She says the staff was rude to her, and she says they didn't seat her because she's black. Cracker Barrel spokeswoman says that they don't tolerate any form of discrimination, that they are taking the complaint very seriously, and Al Sharpton's involved now.
Oh, now yes. It's going to get good. Well, here's the thing, as I've said many times. Maybe she was discriminated against, maybe she wasn't. We're white, what do we know? But I got to tell you, I've been pulled over 1,000 times for chicken-ass tickets. I just got one for not having a front license plate, which isn't illegal in half the states of our union, but it is out here because they put cameras up at every intersection, and they need you out of a front license plate, not for safety, not for any kind of enforcement, but so the camera can take pictures of the front of your bumper and then send you the ticket in the mail. I've been treated rudely by staff, by people. Think about every exchange you've had with a guy who works at a parking lot. Think about every guy who works the booth at the gate, the parking lot, who's rude to you. Think about every guy who works at a gas station in Southern California who's yelling at you through the Lexan. Think about all the horrible service you've received at the restaurant. Now, I'm white, so I always just say the guy's a jackass or this cop's a puss or the Burbank PD is trying to rape everyone who lives in their vicinity and take money out of them. That's what I say, but I never say, well, this is discrimination. But if I were black, I would. I would feel that way. So my point is maybe it is discrimination, maybe it isn't. But I got news for you black people. Why do you get screwed all the time, too? We just think it's an a-hole. We don't think it's racially based.
Well, it's hard to know, and thank God Al Sharpton's on the case.
Oh, yeah. He's going to clear
everything.
Things up in a second.
I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
I think it's pretty darn funny.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Game 5 of the National League Championship Series last night. Mets and Cardinals went into it tied at 2 games apiece. Cards came out of it with a win, thanks largely to ex-Dodger and ex-Angel pitcher Jeff Weaver. Quick review. Before the playoffs began, I picked the Dodgers and Yankees to meet in the World Series. They combined to win one game. Then I picked the Mets A's World Series off of these championship series. We're now one St. Louis away from a Cardinals-Tigers World Series. Mm-hmm. I imagine, and I encourage, in fact, that I'm going to start getting calls from Cards and Tigers team officials begging me not to pick them. And in fact, I can be bought. Hey, you know, we do our best to get to the core of sports, you know, but it's been a long time since we went way out to the fringes, to the nooks and crannies. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Coach's Corner.
Coach's Corner, where coaches and corner are both spelled with K.
That's right, they're both spelled
with
K.
Clever.
It makes it stand out.
Now you think about it.
Now, Tigers swept the A's in the American League Championship Series. Right after that, the A's decided to fire their manager, Kenny Maka. He just got his team 1 series away from the World Series. Meantime, Pirates manager Jim Tracy, Royals manager Buddy Bell, still have their jobs. After the Arizona Cardinals lost on Monday night, we talked about that at length. They blew that 20-point lead. Denny Green, who had the giant blow-up, the head coach, fired offensive coordinator Keith Rowan. It's his fault that they gave up the punt return and Neil Rackers missed the kick, so on and so forth. He's out.
And Edge got the ball torn from his arms by Urlacher.
Exactly. So he's out.
Coach's Corner. K. K.
Now, speaking of that ugly Monday night game, you know, Monday Night Football does this great thing this season where they have one player from the offensive or defensive unit introduce the entire lineup, his team, his pals. Let me give you a sample. They had Matt Leinart, USC, former USC quarterback, introduce the Arizona Cardinals offense on Monday night.
Starting up front, we got big Leonard Davis at left tackle. Reggie Wells alongside him, Nick Leckie at center, Chris Lewinsky and Oliver Ross anchoring that line. In the backfield, we got Edgerrin James from the U.
You get the idea. Pretty cool, yeah. I think. It's, you know, personalizes a little bit.
In theory, it's cool, except for athletes have to deliver it. And they let their fists do the talking, their mouth.
Yeah, I think Matt did a pretty nice job with it. They made a weird choice, though, with who they had introduced, the Chicago Bears. Oh. They had their rookie tight end, and as a matter of fact, I think you know him, Ace. He's your former handyman chum. Their new tight end, Oswaldo Castillo.
Wow.
Take a listen to this.
Hi, I am Oswaldo Castillo. Here he introduces my Chicago Bears teammate. And the quarterback, they have a good name, Red Strongman. Great duo and wide receiver, Bertrand Berrien and Fresno State, and Mushin Muhammad from Michigan State.
Yeah.
Or running back in Thomas Young from the University of Virginia. The offensive line is anchored by all North Center, Olin Cleus, and the leader in the all defense is Mustard in the midway, is Brian Unleacher.
Yeah.
Well, I will say this for Ozzy. What he lacks in articulation, he blocks like a mother.
Well, and I'll tell you, he's built like Winslow and Dave Casper put together and then chopped into a quarter.
Nice job, Ozzy.
Dave Dameshek's number one sports.
I like when they do the introductions and the guy's pissed off at his old college. Because they put him on academic probation for senior year or something. So he's mad because he went to the University of Miami or went to Ohio State, but he's mad at them. So he's going to bring his high school into it and say his high school name. I imagine in the future when our kids are watching TV, there will be guys who went straight from high school to the pros who are then mad at their high school. So they'll have to bring up the name of their junior high and then eventually whittle down to one or K, even kindergarten.
I believe on Sunday night, Randy Moss of the Raiders said nothing. He said Randy Moss and that was that.
Here's I would go ahead and do this. I want the name of the effing college. And if you don't say it, I will get a clumsy white guy to stuff it in there, to shoehorn it in there instead. You will have Randy Moss sitting there. Where'd he go? Oh, he went to Marshall?
Marshall, yeah.
It'll be Marshall University. And then he'll do it. I'll have a computer. I'll have a synthesizer. I'll have someone talking through a tray call. So I'll give you a choice. Either you want to mention your college in full, not your high school. Don't call it the U. Don't call it the big O. Don't call it whatever. You either mention your college or I will have the guy through the trach hole do it through a synthesized voice. There's your choice. All right. Where were we? The more you know. Yes, I have John Mark Carr do it in song form. Speaking of that, we have John. John drove out all night from Arizona. He's now approaching an hour of that being on a continuous loop in his head along with a blindfold. We're doing a little sensory deprivation experiment on him. He will read a prepared statement at the end of the show as well. I have no idea what it is. We should start crafting it. All right. Well, speaking of high school and speaking of football, I'm going to tell a story when we come back. I know you kids love the Ace Man story. So I will tell you a good story of, we'll dip back into the days of yore with the Ace Man. Personal story. Also, Louis C.K. coming in, Dave's jerk list, much, much more on the Adam Carolla Show.
Put that Hollywood party to
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Here's another line you'll never hear in a porno with Playboy TV's Jesse Jane.
As far as hobbits go, I prefer Frodo to Bilbo.
You dirty little bitch. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
866-901-ADAMS, the phone number. But don't bother calling. I don't need you. I have plenty of wind for the both of us. Let's see. Louis C.K. is in. We will talk to him in 1 second. Dave Damashek, not in the studio.
No.
He's going to get himself a toilet timeout.
Shut up.
Very soon. Yeah, do we have any filthy drops for Dave to torture him?
He's the only thing more annoying than my voice is my laugh. Any hole, I'll take it in any hole.
Actually, he is back. He did say any hole.
Diamond earrings!
I think he's putting the finishing touches on his jerk report.
Really?
Hitler was right, and I love little boys.
All right. Well, anyway, Louis C.K. is here. He's poised to come in and make with the mirth. I'm going to tell a story. Dave Damashek will come in. Bruska, go get Damashek, would you? I don't know why, but I don't need him butting in when I'm telling a story, but he's my muse.
Right.
He's my good luck charm. He's my Jesus on the dashboard of comedy.
Look, Buster, do yourself a favor and walk away.
Also, we have John. Now, John came in here about an hour or so ago. He drove all the way out all night from Phoenix, Arizona. We have in our sensory deprivation tank, he's hearing this song on a constant loop. It loops every 8 seconds. I can hear it bleeding through his headphones. It's that loud. And he has a shade over his eyes to block out all light. The only thing he can experience is Bruska hitting him with a hockey stick every 10 or 15 minutes just to keep him alert. He's now rolling his head around. I'm scared he's going to fall off that stool.
All of
and
this
crack
to
his
win,
head open.
To win tickets to the Playboy Mansion where we're broadcasting October 26th.
Thank you. Nice work. Anyway, oh, Dave, nice of you to join us. So we were in the IHOP yesterday because they're having a fire drill here in the building. So we had to go across the street and have our post-mortem meeting. We did it at the IHOP across the street from where we work. Dave and I piled into the booth. Everyone piled into the booth. Dave announced, these booths are great. I love a booth. And I thought, I love a booth, too. And then I thought, you know, who wouldn't love a booth? You know, booth, it's like they have kissing booths, you know, they have information booths. When a booth becomes a chamber, then it's bad, becomes a gas chamber. That's all I know. There's not a gas booth. And if there was, I'd be happy to go there. Warden says you're going to the gas booth. Oh, I thought you were going to say chamber. This is awesome. When do we go? Yeah, a booth is really an evil chamber. A chamber is an evil booth. That's the booth part. But then there's the booth part you sit on. And there's no better. I've had the greatest times of my life in a booth. You ever had a bad time in a booth? You never had a bad time in a booth. I suggest you guys put them in your house.
Enough booths.
Not. Yeah, I say a lot of families would stay together. As a matter of fact, if I had a therapist's office and I did like family counseling, I put them all in a booth. I'll pile into the booth. Pile in, get in there, and then the kid would be talking about repeatedly being molested by stepdad and crying her brains out and then going, you know what, though, it's not that bad. And then she'd say, I'll have the short stack, side of bacon, not too crisp. I just thought the world would be a better place if everyone had a booth. And when I was younger, I was 19, I moved out of the garage into a one-bedroom apartment with me and the Wheeze and my buddy Chris, where that's the one where the Wheeze and I shared a futon for about a year and a half, and then later on, I graduated up into a bunk bed where Chris and I slept on the bunk bed. But at some point, the Wheeze came home one Sunday night, and he said, guess what? I was driving in an alley behind Ventura Boulevard, behind the old Blah Blah Cafe, where the band we used to listen to in high school, the Oxy Five, used to play their novelty hits. And he said, there's a booth, and it's in the back. Yes.
Let me interrupt you. I apologize. But apparently we had a little technical difficulty, and there was a lot of static in LA area. And part of this segment, people didn't hear.
Oh.
So maybe we should go to break and reset.
Oh, really? We have a technical
trouble.
Problem?
Yeah, having trouble.
Okay. Well, I'll get back to my booth story after this, and we'll have Louis C.K. as well, all coming up on the Adam Carolla Show.
Longer rants. More Adam after this. The Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. Thursday, October 26th, we're doing our Halloween party at the Playboy Mansion. Guys, if you want to join us, you got to prove you're worthy with a humiliating stunt. One listener got a tattoo of Don King
underneath his armpit with his pit hair as Don King's hair. Let's see it.
Wow. This kid ate his wallet.
That's tough stuff. You got to get busy.
One guy got a tattoo of tattoo.
A tattoo of tattoo would be awesome.
Some guy smoked a bong load of Big Tad's pubes.
It's in his lungs. Exhale.
And right now, we're breaking one listener down Abu Ghraib style. Check out the video at AdamCarolla.com. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's not a bad idea. We've outlawed many of the old torture techniques. It's not your dad's torture day where they got to rape you or drown you or put bamboo shoots under your fingernails or anything good like that. But I say John Mark Carr's version of falling on a loop would break down even the toughest terrorist in a matter of moments. John has driven out here from Phoenix. He's got this playing in a loop on his headphones so loud that we can hear it bleeding through his headphones. He also has a mask on, so he's deprived of all light and all movement.
And Adam, he's humming right now. He's humming the song.
Defiant!
Well, as we talked about earlier, you know, you could staple your sack to your inner thigh or have a golf ball hit off your ass. That's, there he is. That is painful, but it's over with in a matter of moments and you're back to your day. This is going to be burned into his psyche. He's going to wake up in a cold sweat like a Vietnam vet 30 years from now and be humming this song. All right, Brusket, leave him alone, would you please? Louis C.K., the comedian's comedian. Not the audience's comedian, but the comedian's comedian is going to be... He wanted to make sure I made that clear on the air.
I think it's pretty darn funny.
He's going to come. This guy will look out because he is a ball of fire. He's coming in here in a couple of few. I got started on a personal story a few moments ago, but we had some technical difficulties, so I'll just get you guys caught back up. I'm not sure what cities it was heard in and what cities it wasn't, but I'll just make it fast. First off, it started because we went to the IHOP across the street and had ourselves a nice scramble yesterday after work, and Dave was marveling how nice it was sitting in this booth we all enjoyed. And I thought, yeah, I've never had a bad time in a booth. And I realized booth is one of those things like urinal. You only see them out, you know, in commercial use, but there's no reason why you can't have a urinal and a booth at your house. I have a urinal at my house, and I love staring at it while I whiz in the sink, ironically. I know you thought you said I was going to use it, but I had a urinal at my old house, actually, and I used to use that thing all the time, and when the guys came over to play basketball, they would all use the urinals. As a matter of fact, I had two of them, and it's nice. It's liberating. It's a novelty thing. It's like when you're a kid, and you have one of your, I was going to say my parents, but again, they didn't buy anything that plugged in. That was their rule, or took batteries. But
how would I know that?
Yes, so generous. So we went to, you'd go to your friend's house, and Dad had an old-time popcorn machine or something in the living room. Novelty. The idea that you're eating popcorn at home, movie-type popcorn at home. I don't know why that was such a thrill, but it is. The booth is the same thing. Put a booth in your kitchen. You'll love the hell out of that booth. Now, people say, well, one guy slides in, and then the other guy's got to take a leak, so you got to slide out to let him out. It's worth the extra effort. You have a good time at a booth. No one's had a bad time at a booth. I would argue that if I ever started a private therapy practice, I would get rid of the sofa and put a booth there. The entire family sitting around. Oh, everyone molested everyone. Everyone hates everyone. Everyone's envious of everyone. And then I put them in the booth, and it's all smiles and laughs. Pass the maple syrup, stepdaddy. Sorry for molesting you, son. No biggie. Now, where's that creamery butter? Put everyone in a booth. So I had a booth. We had a booth at my old apartment. It was the year 1985, maybe 1986. I was 19 years old. We were fresh out of high school. I graduated North Hollywood High, and then I graduated into the garage at my dad's house in North Hollywood, and I lived there for a few years, probably my senior year in high school and then a year afterward, and stepmom was putting some pressure on Pops. Let's get the ace man out. You know, my dad, spineless wuss, just curled up in the balls. He sleeps in a basket. He has no spine. Now, a lot of people say, Carolla... You're calling your dad a puss? You're saying your dad has no spine? You're saying it on the radio? Where's he live? Does he live in a city that doesn't receive your program? No, he lives out here in L.A. He could listen. He doesn't. Therefore, I can say whatever I want. I call old man a puss, no problemo. Now, I get out of the garage with some help from the stepmom and the puss of a dad I have.
Now, you also had a tin in there, a popcorn tin, yes?
I didn't have many family members. There's not a lot of Corollas. I think I have a uncle on the East Coast who I've met maybe once. He has some kids. I don't know what their names are. I'm not sure. The Corolla's not a tight-knit group. We didn't talk to people. It's unclear how many family members are Corollas and where they live and what their sexes are and if they have kids. I really have no idea. We were never, you know, like I said, my own family, my immediate family, my parents were sort of lukewarm on their own kids. Imagine how much effort they put into us getting to know the folks that lived in Philadelphia or their siblings. So I didn't really know anybody. I did have out here Vince and Pat. Cousin Vince and Cousin Pat. Not quite sure who exactly they were, how they fit in either, but they were out here. Now, they're very generous, those folks. So generous that every year for my birthday, they would get me a greeting card with slots in it, and I would get a nickel for every age I was. So at age, well, it doesn't sound like much. You're 11. You got 55 cents. Okay. But you understand, this is 1979. That 55 cents could buy an RV or
candy
a vacation
bar.
Home. Yeah, 55 cents was a lot of money. You could buy almost 2/3 of a gallon of gas, you know, back then with that 55 cents. But again, that's when I was 11. Later on, you know, as I got 15 and 16, well, you do the math. And I think at a certain point, to be fair to them, they may have jumped from nickel to dime. So, I mean, I was set. I wouldn't say I never had to work again. But let's just say I was comfortable.
If you invested wisely.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if I didn't, you know, freak out, just have it all go up my nose, I was comfortable just living off the interest of that $1.10. So for graduation, when I graduated high school, and again, these people, I don't know if they were rich, but they spent like it. When I graduated high school, they got me a decorative popcorn tin. It had the popcorn broken up into three sections. There was the cheesy popcorn, there was the regular, and the caramel popcorn had the little cardboard division in it. And I got to say, it had pictures on the outside of the tin. I mean, there must have been 12 ounces of popcorn in that tin. It had to set them back. I was embarrassed to ask at the time. I'm sure it was a pretty penny.
This is for your high school graduation. The tin.
Well, it had popcorn in it. It wasn't just the tin. So I don't know if you buy them separately. And
three flavors. No
Cousin less. Pat loaded it herself. But again, extravagant stuff. I mean, I had guys with brand new cars with big bows on the roof looking at the Ace Man carrying his popcorn tin just burning a hole in my back with envy. Sure. And not only, and this popcorn tin was a gift that keeps giving because when I was done eating the popcorn, I was able to use it to defecate in because there was no bathroom out in the garage and I would get locked out of the house periodically and, you know, nature calls. What are you going to do?
He pooped in a popcorn tin.
Decorative popcorn tin.
Wait, was it still separated into thirds when you pooped in it?
Wow. That's right, because I have three different kinds of poo.
Sweet?
Sweet poo. Well, at least I think it is. Not everyone shares my opinion on that.
Cheesy
poo. And regular, butter, extra salt.
Could you have gone into the house to use the facilities?
I could have. After a certain hour, the door would get locked, and I couldn't get in.
No key.
I probably had one at one time and then lost it. And maybe I was too ashamed to say I'd lost it, or I'd lost it, and this was the punishment. It's all a blur. Either way, I was in the garage. I didn't have running water in the garage, but I did have the popcorn tin. But let's not digress.
Okay.
I don't like going back to that place.
Animal.
Well, it's not like it didn't have a lid, David. I'm
what
sorry.
What was he going to do? He was locked out.
I don't know how you don't live in a mental home growing up.
Sorry,
like that.
Lord Fauntleroy. We didn't have bathrooms when we grew up, all right? Or Dave, did you just have a servant cup his hand while you made a BM into it? It's unclear how you grew up. The point is, this wasn't the highfalutin Beaver Falls. This is the Badlands of North Hollywood. So, we moved into this apartment, me and my buddy the Wheeze, and not a moment too soon. Over there, again, 3-bedroom on Laurel Canyon. Had 3 guys living in it, me and the Wheeze sharing the futon. And one day, he came home on a Sunday night about 5 o'clock, and he said, I was just driving in an alley behind the Blah Blah Cafe on Ventura Boulevard. There's a booth out in the back. I don't know if they're throwing it out. I don't know if they're reupholstering it. I don't know if they're moving it, but it's in the back, and the place is close, so let's go get it. It was fair game. Anything you drag out into an alley, you can pick up and take home. That's all. It's not quite stealing. Now, if it's trash and it's out on the curb, well, then it's definitely not stealing. If it's inside the facility, it is stealing. If it's in an alley, little gray area there. So it's up for grabs. So he said, we got to go get this baby. We got to use your pickup truck. We got to do it. I said, Don, that's good, except for bad timing, because earlier on Sunday, I was playing a little pickup football over at the old North Hollywood High with some of the old buddies, and I think I hurt my knee. I think I hurt it badly. I played 11 years of organized, wear a helmet, wear pads football, never hurt a knee ever, and I was playing a little pickup, just, you know, a little tackle football, but I was just running in the open field, heard a pop, pulled myself out of the game. Knee started swelling a little bit, and I said, I got to get out of here, hopped the fence, and walked all the way home with my knee that had popped out of place moments earlier. But I got home. I didn't put any ice on it or anything. I just said, I don't think I'm good for this. And he said, you puss. That thing's out there. It's not going to last for long. You got a truck. I don't know who else I can get. Let's go get it. I said, fine. So we got in the pickup truck. We drove to the alley. We loaded this huge booth, and I mean, this thing was 10 foot by 9 foot, and it was, you know, the red vinyl, and it had the whole diner-type booth, and we threw it in the back of the pickup truck, and we drove it back to the apartment, but the apartment was on the second floor, and we had a tight set of stairs that went up, and then it dog-legged, and it made a turn, and then I said, Donnie, my knee, it's killing me, man. I got to tell you, I heard a pop. I mean, I may have really injured it, and he said, are you going to puss out now? Would you get behind this booth and start pushing? I said, Don, this thing's got to weigh 400 pounds. It's 9 feet long. It's 8 feet across. He said, start pushing.
Yeah, well, so, you're twice his size, by the way, too.
Yeah, so he got up front. And he acted like the rudder, sort of guiding the front of it. And I shoved whatever weight I had behind the booth. We start chugging up the stairs. And I said, Don, my knee, it's killing me, man. And he said, keep pushing. You're not getting out of this. I love the difference. This is the difference between men and women. When a woman says, I'm not feeling well, I think I may have had some food poisoning. I think my hair, honey, sit down. Do you want me to call somebody? We should call somebody. Then all the other girls huddle. Who's going to drive her to the hospital? With a guy? Hey, puss, start pushing. The thing about guys is any injury or sickness is thought of as an excuse to get out of something. So as a guy, when you go, look, I can't make it. I'm feeling, oh, yes, you can. Get the hell in there. You're not getting out of this. Jeez, my knee is killing me. Yeah, right. All right? My ass is killing me from your excuses. Now get busy and start pushing that booth. So I start shoving the booth, and we get it up to the landing. But the booth is so big, we can't get it through the front door of the apartment. We have to take the door off the hinges. Then I have to take the screen door off the hinges, and the whole time I'm saying, Donnie, my knee is killing me. I swear I think I broke my knee. And he says, keep pushing. So I take the door off, and I take the screen off, and we try to pivot the thing around, but the landing's not big enough, and there's a railing, and there's a little roof over it. And then we have to push it back down the stairs because we can't get it through the door. And I shove it back in the truck. And the Wheeze drives it to the alley behind the Jack in the Box, the same one my buddy Ray stuck his ass out full of water a few years earlier and tried to squirt the guy who was in the drive-thru. And he takes a hammer and he dismantles the whole booth in the alley of the Jack in the Box. And he throws it back in the truck. And by this time, I said, Donnie, seriously, I got to go lie down. And I go upstairs and I lie down, and Donnie works in the wee hours of the night, bringing the booth in now piece by piece that he's dismantled in the alley, like a little beaver, putting it back together in our kitchen where it fit perfectly, where I later built a half circle table that I laminated with some beautiful white laminate on the top, and where we drank many a bottle of tequila just sitting at the booth. That booth, come people, we'd have booth parties. People would come over, pile into the booth, crank up the stereo, and start the boozing. No better place to get loaded or to eat breakfast than a booth. Again, everybody, I say, you want to know if you have room in your house for a booth? I'll say it this way. Why don't you have room? I didn't work that one out. You can't not afford to not have. Well, you know what I'm saying. Get the booth, goddammit. So we put it in, and Donnie worked all night long, and I woke up the next morning, and my knee was the size of a cassava melon. The reason we're playing this song is that's another story where we're testing out speakers we got from a guy in a van and our landlord came over. But I don't want to get into that just yet. I woke up the following morning. My knee was huge. It was black and blue. I later on had surgery on that knee. And then I later on got into my epic street fight with that same knee that had the stitches in it. But that's where the knee was blown out. And I'm sure aggravated. Now, listen. I'm no orthopedic surgeon, but I do know if you blow your knee out playing football, you should probably elevate it and put ice on it, not move heavy furniture up flights of stairs for an evening. But that's the difference between men and women. And by the way, that booth, it's in the Smithsonian, right next to my decorative popcorn tin.
It's a whole wing.
And Archie Bunker's chair. Unclear whether he defecated in it or not. I don't care. I still enjoyed the program. Well, the more you know. There you go. Louis C.K. is coming in. Comedian. Louis C.K. We'll speak to him after this.
Shorter breaks, longer rants. More Adam after this. The Adam Carolla Show. Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Call 866-901-ADAM.
I read something in the paper that really confused me the other day. It said that 80% of the people in New York are minorities. Shouldn't you not call them minorities when it gets to be 80% of the population? It's a very white attitude, really, you know? You can take a white guy to Africa and he'd be like, look at all the minorities they got over here.
Comedian Louis C.K. on the Adam Carolla Show.
And again, that's why he's the comedian's comedian.
Oh, that was me.
Yeah, that was you, Louis C.K.
It's pretty darn funny.
What's happening, Louis?
Not much. How are you?
Good to see you, as usual. Louis is going to be at the Henry Fonda Music Box Theater in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one on Hollywood?
On Hollywood Boulevard, yeah. I'm shooting an HBO special there. It's my first HBO hour.
Really?
That's where we're shooting it, yeah.
November you've been 4th. Around for so long, I would have assumed you've done one by now.
I've done a couple of half hours, but I've never done an hour that's my own show.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing that.
That's November 4th.
How long between the time you shoot those and the time they show up on HBO?
I think it's going to air in January, but I don't know. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of HBO, Lucky Louie, what's the status?
Oh, it's canceled.
Oh. You're breaking my heart.
Yeah.
What? Yes. I never saw the show, but I heard... No. Yeah. I was a fan of the show. Other people I spoke to seemed to be a fan of the show.
Yeah, a lot of people liked it. I mean, the ratings went up every week. It was on the rise.
Why not give it another spin?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know.
And again,
surprised.
HBO, I always ask everyone this, but I never really get an answer. Do they know ratings exactly? Could they tell who's tuning in when?
Yeah. I mean, like any other cable channel, they have ratings, sure.
Mm-hmm. So. How does, and do you know, because it's always surprising when you find out about cable stations, you know, when it just depends who you ask. But if you ask me and you go, what are the top 10 cable stations? You go, I don't know, MTV, Comedy Central. No, that's 31 and 33.
Right.
USA, Lifetime, you know, these are all the ones you don't think of, the ones you don't watch.
Yep.
The ones that showed the movies of the week from the 80s, those are the number one ones. How does something, do you know how something like Entourage compares to another cable show or compares to a network show?
Well, you know how many people are watching, so you can just compare it.
Because I have no idea if Entourage has half the viewers
of
The Apprentice or something like that.
It's actually easier to figure out. It seems like it would be easier to measure cable than airwave TVs.
Right.
How could you know what somebody's watching on a regular?
You ought to try radio.
Yeah, I know. That's there's just no way.
Yeah,
no.
Oh, that's the argument I make every month when I'm in Jack Silver's office. Yeah. Come on, please. Are you kidding me?
What about the podcast?
Yeah. What about the podcast? Yeah. How do we got to count the podcast?
Exactly.
Louis, I know you have kids.
Yeah, I do too.
You're lukewarm on them.
Lukewarm? Yeah, I guess so. I don't. Yeah, I mean it depends on the kid. You know,
right?
Do you like one better than the other?
Oh yeah. For sure. Easily. My first daughter, I really, really like her much more than the second kid. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say I love them. It's a little, you know.
Yeah, it's strong.
Either of them for that many
it's
years.
It's not a dog or a car.
No.
I always find, I'm a new parent myself. I have twins, and I always feel weird when you talk to somebody. Mm-hmm. And they're into your kids more than you are.
Yeah, they're like, oh, it's so.
Oh, you're going. They give that one where they go, let me tell you, from this day on, your life has changed.
Yeah.
You stop living and you live through your kids and you would give your own life for either one of these precious bundles of joy. Yeah. And you're like, yeah, oh, I mean, yeah,
whatever
sure.
You say,
yeah.
Boss.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I love my whole family and I kind of wish I didn't. I mean, the idea of waking up one morning and feeling nothing for these people would be kind of awesome.
Liberating.
Just walk out the door.
Yeah.
Like, you know, oh, why am I here?
Yeah, you're at work. The house could be on fire.
Exactly. But once that you have two, they become, I mean, you have two automatically, so you'll always have that. But for me, I had this relationship with my daughter's four, and then the other daughter, I have a daughter and another daughter. She'll always be the other one.
Mm-hmm.
But she's 15 months. Mm-hmm. So I took them out for a walk yesterday. And we go to this fountain. There's a fountain in a neighbor's yard that the baby loves. Mm-hmm. And she just goes, fountain, 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 and puts her hand in it.
Right.
There's no joy in it. It's just obsession. She's crazy.
Right.
It's fountain, fountain. It's right. Horrible.
Right.
And I stand in there, and I'm like, I want to go home. I'm going, let's go. So the four-year-old, in the guise of helping her mm-hmm. get away from the fountain, grabs her around the neck mm-hmm. and pulls her down to the pavement.
Mm-hmm.
And her head just cracks. Just awful. That noise that sounds like a rock inside of a peach, like hitting.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which is horrifying the first 100 times, but after a while you're like, so what?
Yeah,
she's probably dead. I don't care.
You become like a hardened veteran.
Yeah, because you just hear it enough times. You're like, yeah, okay, fine. Don't care. So she pulls her sister down horribly mm-hmm. and goes, I'm trying to help. But her timing is crappy. She's not good yet at
right.
being a douchebag. She doesn't have it down. So right. she's like, I'm trying to help, like all at once.
Right.
And so the girl, the little baby is on the ground, looks dead.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter's kind of grinning at me, and I want to kill both of them.
Sure.
And then the little one stands up, and she says, I'm sorry.
She apologizes.
Yeah, she apologizes to herself. To us, because
the
she
one
got
that
hurt.
Went down
said, wow. I'm sorry. And then we both laughed at her.
Yeah.
So
smart.
I realized that that's her role in life. We've both crossed over to the dark side, and she's going to be our apologizing for the evil in our family from now on. And I'm glad that she's there to do it. I don't care about her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even barely know her. I've only known her for 17 months.
Right.
Who do you give a crap about that you've
Yeah, you don't know
long?
What her team is.
She might hate black people. I don't know. I don't know what she's like, you know.
Keep our fingers crossed. From your mouth to God's ears. I took my kids in to get their shots.
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday.
So in the case they bite somebody.
Yeah. And I brought them both in. They didn't need me, but I had to be there sort of morally so they would hate me and associate right. me with pain, not yep. just my wife. I think that's sure. that's ultimately the plan. Couple things, couple observations. You must have been to the pediatrician
sure,
a few dozen times.
Yeah.
Listen, if anyone's listening who works with kids, I know you work with kids, but the kids are 6 months old. They can't read the magazines. How
right.
about, you know, who can read? The adults yeah. that bring their kids.
Yep.
Until we get to the point where the four-year-olds and the six-month-olds mm-hmm. drive themselves in to see
yeah,
you,
yeah.
let's start having some magazines yes. for the adults. And I'm not interested in parenting. I don't know if you can tell by hearing me on the radio, but
yeah.
you know when you go in and there's nothing but parenting magazines?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a cop-out.
No.
How about a Car and Driver or Sports Illustrated?
No, nobody wants to read about the thing they do.
Right.
Like the idea that you're a parent,
oh, Christy
so you want
McNichol
parenting magazine?
Is teaching her kid to play the harp.
Yeah.
There's a 14-page spread. Kiss my ass.
Yeah.
I want to know what's going on in the NFL.
Yeah.
So you bring the kids in and you set them down and they give the kid the shot. I guess your kids must have got. They put it in like the fleshy part of the thigh.
Yeah.
And you sit, you hold the kid, and then right when the needle goes in, you try to distract the kid.
Right.
And then you become a monkey. for your kid's enjoyment, and the nurse is the she's pulling the strings. Mm-hmm. The nurse like, sing a song to the kid,
right?
Like what? Sing a song. All I know is the Falling by John by the pedophile, mm-hmm. and Hell is for Children by Pat Benatar. I ended up singing the dreidel song, and I'm not even Jewish.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Really?
It's not a bad one for kids. That is an amazing moment, though, when they put the needle in your kid's thigh for the first time, and or in your inner, in their hip or wherever they put it, and you get to see them go, oh, my God, pain. There's a thing called pain.
Yes.
Like you see their first moment of true pain.
Yes.
The shock on their face.
Right.
That life can be that awful.
Welcome to my world, Junior.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they give, and it's great because they go from 0 to 100 yep. in a millisecond. They're like 1 minute, daddy. And listen, as a kid or even as an adult, when there's 4 or 5 people all singing around you, be prepared for pain.
Yeah,
something bad is going to happen.
Well, the thing, you have girls or boys or one of each? Or
boy and a girl.
The girl thing is really weird because you're responsible for her vagina being clean.
Yeah, like you have to I've actually farmed that out.
Have you really?
To the nanny.
No, I clean her. I
contracted a maintenance crew. Guy comes in with a huge keychain every night and takes care of it, just like it's office space.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
No,
mm-hmm.
I change my daughter's diaper all the time. And so I used to spend my life pining after vaginas.
So sure.
And now I clean poop out of them.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's a weird shift in life, you know?
Right.
It's like I used to love boobs, mm-hmm. and now I have them on my body because I just turned 39 and I got boobs.
Yeah.
Do you have them? Because when the moment...
No, I haven't got them yet, but I did spring a vagina.
Did you?
Yes, that I'm cleaning as we speak.
Well, wow. It's a weird moment in a guy's life when you look in the mirror.
I don't want to get near my daughter's vagina, by the way. Just
well,
telling
it's
you
a
now.
Baby. You got to keep it clean or it gets adhered.
Let the pros handle it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but I'm sorry. We were talking about your man boobs.
My man boobs, which are the moment I think that you get those is a weird moment for a guy. You're looking in the mirror. You got all these feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're the same feelings that like a teenage girl has when she gets her boobs. It's got to be the only moment that a 12-year-old girl and a 40-year-old man have that in common, that moment.
Yeah. That one moment.
Where you're like, am I changing?
Then you get humiliated because your stepmom wants to buy you a training bra.
Yeah, exactly. It's awful. No, but my body's changing forever now. Like, I've got a belly that pushes my... You know when you get your pants get tight because you got fat?
Mm-hmm.
And then you get fatter because it's not like, oh, I'll stop eating now that there's a problem.
Right.
And then they start to hurt your pants.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get fat enough, they get pushed down to your pelvis because they won't hang up high anymore. And then they feel loose. So you actually go, hey, I'm losing weight.
Right.
I ate my way through to the other side.
I have. I think I have a solution.
That happened to you, that guy?
To this.
To
Big Dad.
Lose weight.
Yeah. Please don't interrupt him. He's busy looking at his Ultimate Fighting website, which is very important because we're not having any Ultimate Fighters on the show for the foreseeable future. Yeah. But there is, I have this theory that, you know, a couple things about weight and weight gaining. One is, I see you drinking a water right now. Now, remember, and it still goes on, whenever you talk to a nutritionist, they say 8 glasses a day. You're not drinking enough water. Whenever you talk to a nutritionist, how much water do you drink? Well, I drink a couple of Diet Cokes. Oh, that does not count. How much water? You should be drinking essentially a lake, not a big lake, but a golf course size lake of water every day. Every day you should start with a tumbler with every meal they do this. That's the key to weight loss. Well, how much more water are we drinking now than we were in the 70s? Because I used to drink water once or twice a week in the 70s. It was from a hose.
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't take water with you.
No.
Can you imagine in the 70s going in a car and drinking out of a canteen? We didn't have bottled water. We had a canteen and a Boda bag. You took it when you were camping or going some kind of ski vacation, but you didn't take it with you in your car. You didn't take it with you at work.
Well,
we're drinking 200 or maybe 1,000% more water, and we're twice as fat. So how do you explain that?
Well, I don't personally care that I'm fat. It doesn't bother me. But the thing that's weird is that I've hit the end of a line because I'm about to turn 40. Mm-hmm. So this is it. I'm where I am, or I'm going to be a lot worse. But I'm not going to get ripped when I'm like 45.
Right.
Like you realize the cycle. Like I could always... When you're younger, I can always lose weight or get in great shape.
Mm-hmm.
But like my ankles started hurting, so I go to the doctor, and he said, "Yeah, it's worn out." And I was like, you know, like, so when you see a guy who's like 90 or 80 and he breaks his arm and he's like, that's it, a broken arm till I'm dead now. Like,
right.
They don't, it's just,
yeah.
But I didn't realize at 40, I'm like, it's worn out, so what do I do? And he showed me some stretches.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, how long will that take to heal? And he was like, no, you do that now.
Yeah. It's a life
sentence. For the rest of your life.
Well, I'll say this about Louis C.K., who's on the program this morning. He is one of the skinniest fat guys I've ever met because he is one of these guys where you go, well, obviously he's not skin and bones. I'm sure he doesn't have a six pack. He probably goes maybe 195, 198. And you talk to Louis, nope, 235.
235 at least, yeah. Always.
It's like you're on a different planet that has a different gravitational force or something. I can't believe
TV, I'm fat.
But yeah, but you're in real life.
Like in my show, people wrote like I'm too fat for the woman that plays me. Right? I had no idea.
On TV, you don't look 235.
Really? Well, that's what everybody wrote. Like the paunchy fat.
You're the size of an NFL outside linebacker weight wise, mm-hmm. but you look like a medium sized guy. Yeah. Yeah, you wear it well, buddy. Thanks, go for 300.
I don't care.
Screw the old lady and the diabetes. Go for 300.
Well, that's the thing. My body has no sexual value. No one's ever going to I'm never going to have sex again. It's official. And I'm happy. I feel good.
I mean, you'll have sex, but not meaningful sex.
No. Yeah, no. It's the kind of sex you have to, like, argue like a lawyer to get that sex in a marriage. It's not like a seduction. It's like you have a responsibility to
have
sex.
You're essentially
with me.
You're like a battleship that's been mothballed. You're still physically here, but we're not going to use you
if
a war breaks out.
No, the kids come in and watch a film about planes in my bum.
That's right. Yeah, we're not going to do anything with you.
No.
So why not get up to 300 pounds?
Yeah.
I say I challenge you, Louis.
I'll do it.
Next time you still want to be attractive for your wife?
No. No. Because there's no point. She has no interest. She has zero. Like, I had a friend who was like, well, does she at least go down on you, you know? I'm like, what are you, high? You think she's doing that? That isn't, you know, I wouldn't even know how to approach that.
You like, wouldn't.
Hey, would you at all be interested in putting that in your mouth? I don't know. It's something you might like to.
Well, I've said this once, but I'll say it again, and I'm just putting it out there for any of the ladies listening, my wife, Louie's wife, anyone's listening. Mm-hmm. I don't claim to be the best at giving oral. I'm not good at it. Maybe I'm not motivated, or maybe I just, you know, something wrong with my gums or lips. I don't know. I'm just not very skilled at it. Mm-hmm. But nobody receives oral like
the you're awesome
man.
At that.
But hey, you want to challenge me?
Yeah.
Bring it on. I'll take you on. Well, let me just show you some of my posture.
Sure, let's see.
Let's show what that looks like. Again, I don't give it very good, but boy, do I get it.
Let's see reception face.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, thank you. You have to be in the
studio.
That's
pretty good.
Like I said, I know there's a lot of guys out there that are listening who think, oh, yeah, I receive oral better than Ace Man. Oh, yeah, bring it on. That's what I say. Bring it or shut it.
You know, I was thinking about the fact that I've never done that to a guy. Like, I've never, put one of those in my mouth. And,
the morning is young, my friend.
Well, the thing is, I think it's in a way it's weird that I never have because most people do that. When you think about it, like 51% of the population are women,
mm-hmm.
and they do it occasionally.
Right.
And then there's the gay men that do it.
Right.
Then there's the straight men that are forced to do it under, different circumstances.
Right, or just the ones that spend an extra week at Jewish camp and got bored.
So there's only like 1,000 of us that never take a damn shit. It's like just such a handful of...
While humming the dreidel song.
It's just a handful of just, you know,
Lou, you're an elite fraternity. There's no doubt about it. You remember, you should have a windbreaker made up, like, you know.
That's right, I never did that to
nobody. The WW2 vets with the hat on, it's all decorated. You should have some sort of no oral hat so people can recognize you and shake your hand.
And
what's it like not giving oral?
The only reason I never did it is because I never saw one that I wanted to do that to. I've seen a lot of penises just incidentally.
Mm-hmm. At the gym and whatnot.
Yeah, but I don't know, 40 of them are. I guess that's high. That's a lot.
40's a lot.
I'm only 39. That's one a year and another one.
Yeah.
That's too many.
Well, for good luck.
Yeah, but I never saw one that I was like, I got to have that.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. Outside of Kimmel's, I concur.
To me, I'm not going to be prejudiced because there's billions of them.
What happened? Wow. Oh, we got bleeped.
Did I get bleeped?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll show you mine during the break, and pressure. But
I mean, I'm not looking for it. I'm just saying if I see it, I'm going to go ahead.
Stay open. Well, the next time I see a Louis C.K., I'd like to see up about 300 pounds. I'd like to see a penis hanging out of your mouth.
All right?
Louis C.K., he's going to be doing his HBO comedy special Saturday, November 4th, Henry Fonda Music Box Theater.
You can go to my website for tickets, louisck.com.
That's where you go. Or Ticket Web. And the deal is, go watch him. A, you're seeing a great show. It's Louis C.K. doing good material because they're filming. It's not in some club somewhere in Arizona. He's not going to be loaded up there mailing it in.
Yep.
He's going full tilt. And then you'll see yourself laughing in the audience when they do the audience cutaways. Although most of those will be lifted from the old Chris Rock specials.
That's right.
I know how the game works. Louis, thank you very much.
Thanks, man.
Dave's Jerk List coming up after this.
There's more Adam Carolla coming up.
The Adam Carolla Show, eh? Closer.
The Adam Carolla Show.
Jerk! Shame! Jerks!
The jerk list.
The ice is on. There's too many jerks.
That's what I love about
jerk!
The jerk list.
A severe penalty for being a jerk.
You're a jerk!
The jerk list.
Jerks! Jerks!
What an outrage.
Shame!
What a jerk.
You're a jerk!
The jerk list.
There's too many jerks.
The jerk list.
Judge rules. Jerk.
Wow. My favorite part of the week, the jerk list. Dave Damashek and his jerk list. You have your game face on, my friend.
This is a big one.
Wow.
I got
to say, Dave's a jovial guy. Comes in here. He's got something nice to say to everybody. Usually has a smile painted on his face, but not today.
It's jerk day.
It's jerk day. Actually, every day's jerk day for the Ace Man.
Like Babe Ruth in the 32 World Series, I'm calling my shot.
Wow.
This is the big one. But the difference is, I'm not pointing into the center field bleachers or Wrigley Field.
Mm-hmm.
No. I've got the Han Solo Edition blaster pointed squarely at the backs of you jerks. The bullseye is there. A forewarning. I have very, very bad news for all the jerks at the end of this particular jerk list. All right, let's begin. Stupid cheers, the first jerk. Stupid cheers at football games. They drive me crazy. I've railed against this before. You know, I went to Bloomington, Indiana last weekend, back to my alma mater, went to a football game. Indiana Hoosiers beat Iowa, the 15th ranked team in the entire land. It was a major upset for our Hoosiers. Really big deal for a team that's been terrible for a long, long time. So in the waning moments of the game, our fans start chanting, taunting Iowa with overrated. Which is the worst cheer in the world? What kind of cheer? If the team you beat is in fact overrated as you contend, then you've just diminished your accomplishment by chanting overrated. Why not just make it? It turns out you're not as good as we previously thought, and that's why we're able to beat you. Matter of fact, it's not a bad idea.
Yeah, let's hear that.
Turns out you're not as good as previously thought, and that's why our mediocre team was able to beat you.
Yeah.
Turns out you're not as good as previously thought.
Has a nice flow to it, but yes,
a little clunky.
It's like nailing a supermodel and then saying to her, you know, you're not that hot.
Yeah.
You look a lot better in the pictures. In real life, you're actually
exactly
gross.
Thank you. All right, let's move on. The next one, as I was leaving Bloomington, Indiana. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. I myself am the jerk there. So, stupid cheers at football games. Jerks!
Right. Thank you.
Now, as I was leaving Bloomington, before I left, you know, I'm a clean fella. So I took a shower. Now, this brings me to the next jerk, conditioner. That's the stuff you're supposed to use after you shampoo. And as I was washing my hair, I was thinking, it's what's wrong with our country. You know, while Benny Laden and his terrorist pals are living in caves unwashed, we're not just shampooing as a nation, we're also conditioning. Do you know, I've talked to experts about this, do you know that there's little to no difference between shampoo and soap? You could wash your hair with soap. We don't even need shampoo, but we're a nation of suckers, buying up all the different kinds that are out there that make your hair bigger and smaller, so on and so forth. So some marketing genius decided about 30 years ago, hey, if they're dumb enough to buy shampoo,
Let's make up something called conditioner. I, however, am no sheep. I never gave in to the man's ploy, so I never used this conditioner that they stick in the hotel rooms. You always see the little bottle there. I think too many other people went the same path as me. Not enough people were using this ruse called conditioner, so the manufacturers decided, well, we got too much. We got warehouses full of conditioner, and we're not selling it. Let's just combine it with this shampoo. Then they'll have no choice. So now I'm forced. I don't even want to condition my hair. I like the condition of my hair just fine without this conditioner. Now I have no choice but to shampoo and condition simultaneously. I don't like it. I'm a good enough hair washer that none got in my eyes to burn my eyes, but it did burn me to my very soul. I didn't like it. In summation, conditioner, we don't need you. You're a contrivance to make the man even more money. A luxury item nobody needs. You embody why the terrorists hate us. And by the way, you're a jerk!
Powerful stuff. Right. I gotta say, I do watch those John, whatever, Stock... No, not John Stock. John,
Stossel?
Stossel shows, you know, 2020. Now, about once a year, they do those consumer report things where they test all the shampoos. They take the $2.99 Suave versus the $14.99 Nutrice with Provitamin and Shimmer Essence in it. They make up a bunch of stuff about papaya extract and all that crap that my wife swears is the best. And it's always exactly the same. But yet, when I turn to my wife and go, why do you pay 10 times as much for the crap that's exactly the same, tested in a clinical environment? She says, it has Shimmer Essence in it.
Here, listen. The fat cats on Madison Avenue and Benny Layden in his Afghani cave are both laughing at you with your conditioner. All right, listen. As I've said before, the jerk list is nothing without the jerk hotline and the contributions from the Urukai out there. Breaking news, as a matter of fact. You know Greta Van Susteren, the lady who had the plastic surgery. She's on Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen to this that I got this morning.
She shouldn't be
on the
anywhere near something called Fox.
Interesting
to think
point.
About
a
it.
A fine
Very
point.
Ironic.
Take a listen to this attack.
Another week, another jerk ripping off the jerk hotline. Now it's Fox News anchor Greta Van Susteren, who apparently now has a segment on her show called Jerk of the Day. I say jerk!
Wow.
Stinger good. Sting Van Susteren, but good. Remade puss. All right. Now we have a little feature. We're going to have two from the youngsters out there. Some kids called the Jerk Hotline. This one I didn't like so much. Take a listen.
Hi, I'm Jared. I'm 7 years old. I listen to you every day on the radio. And I just want to say Dave is a jerk because he's too loud on the radio.
I don't like that. You little scamp, you.
That was my nephew.
Ouch.
Put him up to that.
All right, I'm going to give him a pass. He knows not what he does. Now, this was a much better one, delivered by my cousin Mitch from Harrisburg, PA, and his nice little kids, 3-year-old Amelia and 1-year-old Max. They were watching the Steeler game, and they took a timeout to call the Jerk Hotline. Take a listen to this.
Hey, go Steelers!
Go Steelers!
Yeah! Say Heinz Ward!
Heinz
Ward! Say Willie Parker!
Willie Parker!
Max, say yeah!
Yeah!
Say whoa!
Whoa!
Say touchdown! Okay, say bye. Say bye, Uncle Dave.
Say sweet. It restores my faith in the children.
Yeah.
And this leads me now to the creep of the week. Crape, crape of the week, he or she is the creep of the week. Well, we have our first ever tie for creep of the week. First, seems like a lot of people have been getting sick lately. Have you noticed? A lot of the flus in the air or something, colds and flus and everything. A couple weeks ago. A couple weeks ago, my bride Cindy didn't feel very well.
Mm-hmm.
She went to the doctor who said she didn't have the flu. No, she had a little something called morning sickness. Oh, that's right. You should shudder, jerks of the world. That's right, the jerk list will live on past my time on this earth. Miss Cindy is holding a child within deep within her lungs.
Wow.
That's right.
Congratulations.
Hear me now, future generations of jerks. You will feel the sting of the blaster that your forefathers felt.
Wow. The lightsaber's been passed on.
Is
That's
this
exactly.
For real?
This is for real. And But I would like to say, as excited as Miss Cindy is, and I am, and of course Mo Damashek and the rest of the family, I will say that morning sickness this first 3 months has been abysmal. So morning sickness, creep of the week.
All right. This is going to continue long after you're gone.
Yes.
This just in, Jack Silver killed himself.
Damashek. I can't believe it. Wait, I don't want to interrupt, but is she 3 months in?
3 months. 12 weeks through now.
Hey, listen. I'm not telling you how to live your life, but we got to work this stuff out because Dave did tell me on the way to the hockey game 3 or 4 days ago, or 5 or 6 days ago. He said, "Look, it's not public knowledge, but Miss Cindy's pregnant. Don't tell anybody. I'm going to tell people in a few days." And I said, "Fine." And then I moved on to railing about the diamond lane. now, I then went home 2 days ago. My beautiful bride, Lynette, was at the computer receiving an email from Miss Cindy saying to the world that she was pregnant. Then she turned around and she said, "Did you know Dave? Did you know Cindy was pregnant?" And I said, "Yeah, Dave told me." "And you didn't tell me? This is the first I hear about it?" And I said, he said, "Not say anything." Which always gets her mad because, hey, that's the way I roll. When somebody says don't say anything, don't say anything.
Adam and I share everything. Yes.
Not, it's not that I don't like the gossip. It's just it's not about me.
You forgot.
Here's how you know I'm never going to tell your secret. If I'm not involved with it, I'm never going to tell it. If it doesn't involve me playing football in high school, it'll never pass my lips.
All right, let me quickly wrap this up. As I said, we had a tie this week for Creep of the Week. So morning sickness, the second creep. Everybody who's seen my wife in the last few weeks, she has got massive porn star boobs. I am not exaggerating it. They are humongous. And yet, I mean,
bigger than Louis C.K.'s?
Oh, well,
yeah.
Close. But okay, all right, but you got, they
get
were very
point.
Big.
Right.
They're my greatest pleasure, these bosoms. But everyone in the world is so self-absorbed that they can't even take a time out to gander at my wife's giant boobs. You're all creeps!
Wow. What is this society?
The Jerk List with Dave Damashek. Until next time, don't be a jerk.
Inspired, Dave.
What a way to find out that you're having your first child in the Jerk List.
And I must say,
emotional.
I must say, you've set the bar very high for young Dave Jr., or if it's a boy. It's good stuff. Brian?
Yeah.
Brian is the chatterbox
that
ate the wallet in here a couple days back. I call him Brian. His friends know him as Mr. Personality.
You're quite the little chatterbox tonight, ain't you?
Yeah, pretty so funny. Brian ate his entire wallet on this show. Was it Monday? What day was it? Friday?
That was Monday.
I'm losing it, yeah.
I was feeling a little under the weather, a little overwhelmed being there.
I understand, but you were a trooper. I tasted a part of the leather wallet that Ozzy barbecued and marinated on the grill, and I thought, well, how bad could it be? It's from a cow. Maybe it's just like eating a bad steak. Oh, no. It was like eating a high top tennis shoe. It was horrible, but yet you consumed your entire wallet. And for that, I'll be seeing you at the Playboy Mansion on the 26th. How was the following day or that evening? How'd it go when you went to the bathroom?
The evening wasn't so bad. The next day, I did throw it up a little bit in the morning. I ended up not going into work. Mm-hmm. Feeling sick all day yesterday.
Mm.
Today, I'm back at work. Still feeling a little.
Yeah.
Not so good, but
I wonder if in the history of employment, somebody didn't make it into work the next day because they'd consumed their own wallet the previous morning.
Me too.
Do you think it's ever happened that somebody ate their wallet? You know, there's billions of humans that have come and gone on this planet, billions of jobs and bosses. Do you think anyone has not come in the next day because they physically ate their wallet? Interesting. So, you threw up, but how was the dookie?
Normal.
Oh, well, Dave, you owe me money. Dave Damashek bet me it would come out in the form of a catcher mitt, and he then announced signed by Johnny Bench. And I said, Dave, really? Because it seems like a tall enough order just the catcher mitt. He was very sure of himself. Proud papa.
Well, Brian threw up a little?
Yeah.
Or a lot?
No, a little. But I think, like, the worst part about it is my tongue is still a little numb. I don't know like what it was, like
mm-hmm.
it was the sauce or chemicals in the wallet,
mm-hmm.
but it feels like a little burned. I don't know, like after you
I gotta say this,
Brian, and I'm gonna give you a little tip. Obviously you need a new wallet unless you think you can crap yours out whole.
No.
Next wallet I get, if I'm Brian, is made of Canadian bacon. Just on the off chance that there's another radio stunt involving some tickets and I have to come in there and technically eat my wallet, you are going to be one step ahead of the competition, my friend.
Yeah.
All right, Brian, we'll see you at the Playboy Mansion.
All right, thanks a lot.
Nice work. Well, there he is. He's still in one piece. He consumed his entire wallet.
Hopefully we'll be able to say the same for John here, who's been listening to Falling on a Loop for now 2 hours.
Yes, it has been maybe even over 2 hours. He's heard John Mark Carr. Lifted from Entertainment Tonight, singing at a friend's wedding. Reason 835, my wife wants a divorce. Because we were watching TV 2 months ago and watching Entertainment Tonight, just me and the little kids and the wife, a little quality time. But I have a magic thing in my hand called the TiVo remote. And when I heard this clip, they didn't say what he was doing. They said, here's John Mark Carr from 1987 singing at a friend's wedding. And there he is on a stool with a 3-stage mullet and a 12-string. And I scream, I know that song. And my wife says, who cares? And I say, I care. And I listen to it 1,300 times and I can't place it. And then it's up to the computer to Google in Falling. And eventually I come up with the song. At this time, my wife is now meeting with an attorney on the same sofa. I include him in the argument. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Yes, John has heard it, well, at least 1,000 times now. He has his deprivation mask on. He can see no light. He can hear no sound other than the loop of Falling. Bruska is poking him with a hockey stick every few minutes, though.
I'm just curious to hear from him just for like 10 seconds. Can we talk to him for 10 seconds? What do you guys think?
It's going to destroy the psychological damage we're doing.
I just want to see how he's doing, because before they're on the jerk list, he kept screaming out, jerk, jerk! He's losing his mind.
He's sinking into insanity right now. You don't want to disrupt that.
Yeah. We'll sit on it. We have a prepared statement for him to read, just like any hostage whose will has been broken. We'll do that at the end of the show. I feel you, Brusket. And this must be a horrible torture, because Bruska, who has had ideas for people to win Playboy tickets, everything from lighting themselves on fire in the parking lot to jumping on a piece of number 10 rebar and impaling their sternum through it, not seeking medical help. These are the kinds of ideas that Bruska comes up with. He feels sorry for John. He's been checking on him.
I know, it's the softer side of Bruska.
He's worried about him. He'll be fine.
Every side of him is soft.
he's just being scrambled. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, I am going to do a venom-filled vitriolic jag on public service announcements. Yes, your tax dollars hard at work. Oh, I have commentary. Dave, make room on the jerk report.
I was going to say, we'll keep the blaster out.
I meant jerkless. Sorry, Jim. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with that after this.
And now, Oswaldo reads the 100 greatest movie quotes of all time. Number 29, from A Few Good Men.
You can handle the truth.
Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes. All righty, well, we got a little time, so I thought I would go on a hate-filled rant about the system and the man who runs it. I worked on Loveline, the radio show, for many years. We used to hear these PSAs, public service announcements. You've all heard them before. I guess because I would always hear the national feed through my headphones, they would just run these things, and that's the only thing I would hear. I wouldn't hear local commercials. I would just hear the PSAs, which they ran for the national feed in case somebody didn't have commercials. They would hear these. But we have lots of public service announcements. Celebrities do them all the time. It's required. That's why you see so many of them when you watch NBC and you see David Schwimmer telling you to talk to your kids. The very condescending David Schwimmer telling you to talk to your kids. He who's happily banging his way through Hollywood, who has no children of his own, is going to tell you, who are married and have children, to go ahead and talk to your kids. Thanks. Thanks for the heads up. Shouldn't you be banging the bejesus out of an 18-year-old now? Would you take time out? Would you take time out of your busy schedule? Hanging out
with your
buddies?
Your home is a safe place for your child, but your computer might not be. Know where they're going online.
Sure, nobody knows kids like Schwimmer because in real life he has no children, and on TV he plays a character who's abandoned his child. So when you think kids and you think parenting, you think Schwimmer. It's condescending. And here's the thing. The networks don't get ratings off them. They don't do them for any reason other than the government says you want to keep your license. You'll crap out some of these things. So they don't give a rat's ass. So they pull Schwimmer aside from the set of Friends and they go, hey, we got to do mandatory FCC law. We have to do a minute and 38 seconds of these things every week or so. So Schwimmer, why don't you just talk about something? I don't know. What should I talk about? Whatever. Start the camera. Here we go. Hey, talk to your kids. Fantastic.
You can be funny without making fun of someone else. So treat people the way you want to be treated.
Right. Right. Yeah. Right. He doesn't make fun of anybody on that sitcom he's been on for 10 years. Just these. Yes. No ass, Sherlock. Look, just say you're out. Here's the thing. If you're NBC or ABC or whoever you are, admit that you have nothing and just show a picture of a missing kid. You know my policy. When you have nothing, you ever do that? You pick up the Sunday paper and you're like, oh, let's see what Charlie Brown and his buddies are up to. Well, there he is. He's on the baseball diamond. Next frame, he's talking to Lucy. Now he's talking to Snoopy. Now he's talking to Lucy in that booth that has the thing that says psychiatry, a nickel. And he says, I blame my parents. And you get to the end of it and you go, oh, there's nothing here. We had nothing. Charles Schultz or whoever's taken over the franchise had nothing. There's no joke here. I don't even get it. As a matter of fact, I'm gonna waste another 10 minutes looking at it because I can't get the goddamn joke in it. You have nothing. Just put missing kids. When you have nothing, put a picture of missing kids. NBC, instead of getting Schwimmer to talk about these ultra-obvious talk to your kids, as if you didn't see this. What did parents do before Schwimmer told them to talk to their kids? I grew up in a family where I would say, hey, Mom, what's for dinner? And she'd go, Mom, what's for dinner? Dad, why is Mom not talking?
How should I know?
Well, I am going to college, am I not?
How can you possibly expect me to answer that?
All right, I'm going to go out and play. What time should I be home for dinner? But then Schwimmer opened his glorious pie hole, and now we have a new generation of parents who know it's okay to talk to their kids. I just say these things are a waste of goddamn time and, of course, a waste of money. You could be using this very precious time because they run them right in the middle of primetime shows, and that 30 seconds would cost Upjohn or the folks that make Captain Crunch cereal $500,000 or $250,000. It's very valuable real estate, yet nothing is being said. My all-time favorite I used to hear all the time when I used to do the overnight shift over there doing Loveline was this one on. Now, this is giving you a heads up, those of you who fly. And I don't know what percentage of this country is getting on a plane within a month of when they hear this, but I would guess it's less than 10%. But let's go ahead. For the group, for the small group that does actually fly frequently, let's hear what the government has to say about that.
If you want me to pause at any point,
please be ready, because I need to go over it like Lombardi going over game film.
What a tough thing your body is. Mm-hmm. It's built to withstand bending, pinching,
ouch,
bumping, tickling, football, even company meetings.
Well, let's stop it there. I'm not sure. Now, if you asked Daryl Stingley if your body was there to play football, or all the guys that have knee and hip replacement surgery, or just the dozens of people who do die at the high school and college level playing football every year, I'm not sure if their grieving families would go along with that assertion that your body was meant to play football, considering most of the guys have arthritis and are essentially cripples after they leave the NFL. But football, he's added to the list. Okay, let's go.
But there's something the human body isn't built to withstand.
What could it be? What could it be? Let's go.
Unexpected turbulence. Happily, though, planes are built to withstand that really well. All you have to do is wear your safety belt the entire flight.
All right. So let's recap. Now, there was football in there. Did they have rollerblading?
You know, I think this one is a cut-down version. The old one had rollerblading and bad cooking. Things that kill
bad
dozens
cooking.
Of people.
Hundreds
of people.
They had childbirth.
Oh.
So, they sat down. Now I'm going to stand up because I'm angry. They sat down to do a public service announcement, and they start off by giving you examples of what your body is meant to do. Football. Well, a lot of people die playing football, and they're crippled playing football. Then rollerblading. Half the kids are going to emergency rooms or either on a skateboard or rollerblades. Bad cooking. Well, at least worldwide, I'm sure several hundred thousand people die from whatever they put into their mouth on any given year. And then childbirth, where in certain countries, a third of the people die during childbirth. But historically, it was about half the women over the last several thousand years. Half the women that gave birth are dead. So these are the examples they do use of what your body is meant for. But then, one thing your body can't handle is being jostled while sitting in a recliner. But here's what they're going to tell you to do. There is something, and I don't know if you've flown as much as I have, but there are these things called seat belts. And not only are they in your automobiles, but they have them in airplanes now, too. I don't know if you guys know. What do they think? We're flying an old bi-wing Stearman? Just sitting in the back with goggles and a scarf blowing out in the wind. Yes, there are seatbelts in an airplane. They even have placards that light up. There's even a C at the end of the hall who yells into a microphone, put your seatbelt on, about every 8 seconds. But let's hear the rest of it because we need to know.
So that's the end. No, it's a shorter version.
Oh, what happened to my super long version?
Uh-oh.
This is uncomfortable, Brian.
Oh, thank God.
Anyway, I feel like people need to know about seatbelts. All right, I'll try to recap. Sue's the savage beast. In love with Schwimmer. All right, that's enough. Now, let me just say this. This I heard run several hundred thousand times during my 10-year thing, explaining that you need to put a seatbelt on when you get in an airplane. You will be tackled and arrested and taken off the plane if you do not have your seatbelt on when you're in the airplane. There's the placard that lights up. There's the constant refrain, not only from the stewardess, but from the pilot. I would leave those seatbelts on. It's okay to take your seatbelt off. Put your seatbelt back on. There is non-stop seatbelt talk, yet somebody thought we should go ahead and waste several $100,000 in airtime and in production value and put this thing together. Now I ask you, who's in charge of this and when do we get our pound of flesh out of them? Because essentially, we're taxpayers and this money comes from the kitty and I want it back. They've wasted our money. Oh, yeah, we try to bust the defense contractors that spent, you know, $7,000 on a bolt or $5,000 on a toilet seat. But what about the jackasses that are wasting our time with this? Shouldn't we have a class action lawsuit? Who produced this? Where are they? And I want retribution. They owe me my life back. And the same JOs that are listening that think they should take these million-dollar street signs we have that light up here in Los Angeles and write click it or ticket, I'll make the same goddamn argument. We have a seatbelt. We have a light-up placard. We have a buzzer. We don't need a heads-up on something we're constantly getting a heads-up on. How about you give us a heads-up on breathing? Don't forget to blink. Your eyes will dry out, shrivel up, fall out of the orbital socket. You got to blink once in a while, Dave. That's good.
Digesting.
Carry on cellular respiration as well.
I say at least they chose the most important issues of our day. They chose click it or ticket and have fun without making fun instead of going after things like our nation's juvenile obesity issue, global warming, poverty.
Oh, they pale in comparison. I got to tell you, and if I just came to this country from another place, I would say, what a utopia they're living in here. They have no bigger problems than Blowhard Schwimmer telling you to talk to your kids or somebody.
You can be funny without making fun of someone else.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for the heads up. Oh, boy, is that going to come in handy. I have kids myself. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to put all this crap on a continuous loop and put my kid in front of the TV set. Where's the wise one, Trump?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I don't know if you.
It can be weird. It can be awkward. But it can't be ignored. Talk to your kids about alcohol and other drugs, and do it now.
Right. This is a guy who talks to his kid through his publicist who tells his assistant to speak to the kids. Fantabulous. I like the ones about secondhand smoke. I'd not heard that smoking was bad for you. Have you guys heard this? Not only is it turns out smoking is bad for you, secondhand smoke. That's the smoke that comes out of the smokers.
Right.
Turns out that's bad, too. I don't know if you guys have heard. Yeah, let's hear that.
Smoking sucks. The air right out of your lungs.
Huh.
It's a play on words.
It's bad for you. Okay, so let me get this straight. Let me just focus here. Talk to the kids. Don't kid around so much. Or if you do, do it in a nice way. When you're in a thing called an airplane, there's a ribbon of cloth where the seat is. It's got a buckle on the end of it. I think they call it a seat harness or a seat something. I'm unclear. Click it together and then wear that while you're flying in the airplane. And then there's another one of those same things you have in your car. You need to put one of those on too. And then smoking, it's unclear whether, I think it's bad for you. That's the other thing I've learned from the geniuses that are wasting our time and wasting our money. Meanwhile, let me give you a good heads up. All we ever talk about is oil consumption in this country. All we ever talk about is gas mileage. All we ever talk about is dependence on foreign oil in the Middle East and all that. And a few years ago, we had a bunch of people dying in Ford Explorers because the tires were blowing out and then the car would turn over and kill the occupants. Well, the reason the tires were blowing up is not because they were defective, although they were defective, but the main reason was is they didn't have the right tire pressure. You see, they were defective, but not if they were in the normal range of tire pressure. But nobody checks their tires. I got my wife driving around. She's got 10 pounds in one tire, 190 in the other, -3 in the other. And God knows the fix-a-flat where the other one was. Every chick I know and every guy I know, because all guys I know are now turning into chicks, never check their tire pressure. They're driving around with the wrong tire pressure in their car. They're wearing out their tires, using up natural resources, filling the landfills, getting 25% worse mileage. Try riding a bicycle with no air in the tires and see how hard you pump. That's what your engine is doing. And they're getting into accidents that are actually taking lives because it is dangerous to have tires that are underinflated. Do we ever talk about this? No. Now, do we ever talk about the morning after pill? How about this? How about mine and Kimmel's? Put a little talc down your shorts before you leave your house. Wear your underpants twice. How about that? How about this? Hey, halitosis mouth over there. Brush your tongue. I know you thought it was just the toothbrush or just for your teeth, but hit that tongue every once in a while. That's where the stink is setting up camp. Yes, you have funk bivouacking on your tongue, but nobody ever tells you because Schwimmer's too busy trying to talk you into talking to your kids. Please. You insult me. Can we come
up with...
You
can be funny without making fun of someone else.
Can we please get the people responsible for the airplane turbulence? You know, it's been a lifelong quest of mine. 10 years I've been trying to get those SOBs on the phone and tear them a new a-hole for wasting all our collective times. Can we please talk to those people? And look, anyone within the sound of my voice that is doing a PSA, pick a topic that actually has some useful impact on the audience that it's being presented to. Yes, we know smoking's bad. Yes, we know seatbelts are good. Now move on, you retards.
You want to rid the world of hate? Then don't pass it on to your children. Hate is something they shouldn't inherit.
Who is that?
Oh, really? Oh, well, hold on a sec. I got to get home. Because I have two 4-month-olds. All I've been doing them is burning them with cigarette butts and showing them pictures of Nelson Mandela. That's all I've been doing, and yelling, you have to hate people of color. That's all I've been doing for the last 4 months. Now, hold on. This is news to the Ace Man. I didn't know there was a different way to go. All right, I'm going to stop the torture immediately.
Sonny and Natalia now hate PSAs.
It's the one thing. If you suspect a child is being abused by a friend or family member, speak up. Be that child's hero.
All right. We don't have the talk to your kid one. That's my favorite. Or Schwimmer just tells you the very general talk to your kid. And I would say if it's that vague, then just distill it down to, hey, let's go. Come on now. We will take ourselves a quick break. Oh, I'm not done with this. We're going to find more, and this party's going to continue. Not today, but soon, my children. Jean-Claude Lamar is in. Speaking of black folks, he's a director, actor of the very controversial movie about the black Jesus. We also have our delightful Shirley Religious Nut, who's waiting in the wings as well. So this should be interesting. We'll do that after this.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Los Angeles, California. A man appears on the Adam Carolla Show. He wrote, directed, and starred in a movie called Color of the Cross, which portrays Jesus as a black man. Definitely not a Jew.
Surreal. Jean-Claude Lamar in studio. Good to see you.
Good to be here, and I'd like to say I am a Jew.
Wow.
Well, we'll go back. Clear that up real
quick. We'll go back and correct that. One piece of unfinished business. Just hang with me, and then we will delve deep into the Color of the Cross and all the controversy. We did find the extended dance version of the airplane turbulence PSA. Let's just hear that. And again, note all the things your body was meant to do versus what it wasn't meant to do, which is being cradled in the soft chair and being bumped. And do you know how many people are killed nationwide through airplane turbulence every year? Zero. Do you know how many people are killed through the examples you cite? Into the hundreds. So the examples you use, the examples they use in the commercial, kill twice as many or 100 times as many as the thing you're not supposed to be doing, the negative example. Let's just hear this.
What a tough thing your body is. It's built to withstand bending, pinching,
ouch,
tattooing,
ow,
swimming, bumping, tickling, shaving,
loud noises,
childbirth,
oh, red 45,
football, bad cooking, rollerblading.
They have cars locking up the brakes while the guy's going through the intersection on his rollerblades, but... But
marathons, even company meetings. But there's something the human body isn't built to withstand.
What is it?
Oh, let it go.
Unexpected turbulence. Right. Happily, though, planes are built to withstand.
Although zero
that
people
really
died
well
in the United States of unexpected turbulence.
The entire flight.
Zero versus
so
tons playing
fly,
football and rollerblading.
Stay buckled up. The whole time.
Okay.
Because
I want the
all,
ass. Enough. I want the ass who put that together. I want to get them in here and I want to destroy them and I want my money back. All right. We'll get to that. Bresca, get busy. Find that person. I don't care if you have to head to Battle Creek, Michigan or Pueblo, Colorado. I think that's probably where all those people live. Jean-Claude Lamar. Sorry for that digression.
Yes.
He's doodling.
What's up?
I'm good.
You're good?
Yes.
All right, let's talk about this controversial film of yours where Jesus is being depicted as a black man. I don't have many opinions on this. I'm an atheist. I don't know what the hell goes on in old Bethlehem or anywhere else. But do you think that Jesus was a black man?
Well, I think he was a... I definitely think he was a person of color, as I think most people have come to accept.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a little darker in tone than what we've seen up till now. Definitely a little darker than Jim Caviezel.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Well, what did you think of The Passion of the Christ?
I loved it. I thought it was a great film.
You did?
I loved it, yeah. You know, I just probably, that was probably the only inaccuracy in the entire film.
The guy starred. Well, it's a pretty big one, though.
Yeah, it's a big one, but it's sort of very consistent with sort of the portrayals, Hollywood portrayals of Jesus.
Mel Gibson's working on a picture where Gilbert Gottfried's going to play Malcolm X. I don't want to get you upset. I don't upset you. He says artistic license. I don't know. I think the man has now crossed the line. Well, what do you think of Mel Gibson?
Well, I love Lethal Weapon, the series. I don't know what
yeah,
to
but,
say.
Well, he got pulled over. He started railing against the Jews. Yeah. He used a honky in the place of a man of color in
hey, look,
the most powerful
just,
role of his
hey,
life.
I was just happy he didn't say anything about black people.
Well, they ran out of tape.
Right.
I'm sure he's, well, I'm not sure, but it would seem that he might not be a fan.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah. Although, I got to say, they're both different teams in the same division. It's hard to hate one team and hate the other. You got to be a fan of somebody's. You know what I mean? I feel like if you hated the Jews, you would be a fan of the black man.
He and Danny Glover were best friends.
Look at David Duke. Right, he hates both.
Right.
Well, that is true. So,
hey, I just read the other day that, what was the Secretary of State for under George Bush? What was that guy's name? Baker.
Oh, was Baker.
Yeah, he found out that, he's got black people in his family.
Oh, really?
I just found that out.
And did he pretend to be cool with it?
He was like, interesting.
If I ever find that out, I'm going to pretend to be cool. Especially if a black guy tells me. But I don't want to overdo it. Hey, man, that's great. All right. Wow, that's something. There you go.
Well, in your movie, who does play Jesus?
I actually play Jesus.
You do?
Yes.
And where did you film it? Please say Vasquez Rocks.
Santa Clarita.
Santa Clarita.
Yeah.
Well, Bethlehem, Santa Clarita.
Right.
And I guess, though, if you think about sort of Southern California and you think about the desert and the kind of chaparral and all the place between here and Las Vegas, they probably pass for
Judea.
Old Jerusalem. Yeah. So how about the contra? Oh, we have a clip of the movie, by the way, we should hear. Here we go.
How much further? I hope we're not too late. We will get to Gethsemane before they do.
Search the house.
Die, you black Jew!
Do you think they're doing this because he's black?
They're doing this because he's the Messiah.
So who that obviously was that Gibson?
That
was a cameo?
It was Gilbert Godfrey.
So now, are you getting a fair amount of crap for this?
Yeah, I am. But, it comes with the territory. I mean, whenever you touch on anything remotely religious, it's going to, really get people in a frenzy. And so, we've gotten phone calls and stuff and tons of really angry emails, but...
Mm-hmm. And I imagine it's also be fodder for comedians as well. We had some jokes we wanted to tell, but we realized being white, that would be inappropriate.
It wouldn't work.
So we dug up our one black friend. More of an acquaintance. Mike?
Man. Adam, good morning, baby.
What's happening? And we thought it might be funny if you played the black Jesus.
Y'all gonna get me kicked out the NAACP for this.
No, but they have that thing. You see the black comedians, they go, man, if the president of the United States was white, there wouldn't be any diplomatic negotiations. He'd go over there and bitch slaps at him. They do that.
No,
I hate
doubt.
It, but I always laugh.
No doubt.
And again, it would be very inappropriate if we did that, but not if we told one of our friends to do it. It was technically black.
I'm going to get y'all for this anyway.
Thank you. All right, Mike. So what would that sound like?
Definitely, man. Jokes off the back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, white Jesus turned water into wine, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Black Jesus would have turned water into malt liquor.
Yeah, see? I would have said that would have been offensive. What else you got?
Black Jesus never met his dad. He was raised by another guy.
Which is historically correct.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
You all right?
Hold on. You know why black Jesus walked on water? Because black people can't swim.
Ah, that's not funny.
All y'all got it coming.
That's good. What else you got, the difference between white Jesus and black Jesus?
Oh, my God. You know why Jesus was black? He couldn't get a fair trial. White guy would have hired himself a good lawyer.
So painful.
Painful.
Jesus on several levels.
Hold on
a second. Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry for stepping on you. Keep rolling.
Jesus was definitely black. He was always rolling around with 12 guys. The disciples were the original posse.
Yeah.
Killing.
I didn't say funny black Jesus comic. I just said black Jesus comic.
Are there crickets in Bethlehem?
No, it's just stabbing.
Do you have anything else left for us, Mike?
And the finale is, you know Jesus is black because he should have returned by now. But just like a black guy, he's always late.
All right. Again, that's poor.
I think it was racist that white people made a black man tell those terrible jokes.
Yeah. I know.
I was praying for a miracle.
Get him, Checker.
All right. Mike, we'll see you up at Kimmel's on Sunday.
Oh, I'm going to get you.
All right.
We'll see. Payback is a beast, baby.
We'll see it. We'll see you then.
All right.
A good friend, Mike Greggs, who works over at Kimmel, likes to come up there. He's a decent guy. He's fun to watch football with, but it's more fulfilling just a EEOC requirement. ABC requires that Kimmel have one black guy watching Sunday football over his place. Shirley Phelps?
Yes.
What's going on, my sister?
Not a lot. I'm just amazed at what I hear some days. You're making the black guy tell that? That's what I start hearing.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
You pay him to do that?
We all have our crosses to bear. Unclear whether he's being paid or not. But Jean-Claude Lamar is in studio. He plays the black Jesus.
Oh, so you're not mocking the guy you're mocking the guy sitting in your studio?
I got to tell you, at this point, even I'm confused. I thought we hashed it out at the IHOP yesterday, but now I can't remember what we said.
By the way, Shirley Phelps, we should remind the audience, is from the church group who protests at the funerals of veterans of the Iraq War who've died.
GodHatesFags.com.
Nice mm-hmm. plug.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we could get Schwimmer to do a PSA for you guys.
SignMovies.net.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you care? Now, you're a very religious person, obviously. But do you care?
I'm just a servant of the living God.
I understand. Did you care that Jean-Claude has made a movie where he's portraying Jesus as a black man?
What kind of a Jesus? What else does the movie have? The whole business about the black thing. Mm-hmm. You know, considering that Jesus was a Jew, mm-hmm. that makes that a little problematic. But other than that, it's nonsense. It's just nonsense. It's another thing to waste your time at dalliance. Mm-hmm. To divert from just serving the living and true God and doing that deed and in truth.
Mm-hmm. Well, but a lot of people would say, and do you have a problem with the Jews, by the way, Shirley?
That little part where they killed Christ is pretty much the, the whole ball of wax.
It's been a few thousand years. You haven't gotten over it?
Other than that part where they're going to hell if they haven't accepted Christ, if they haven't, you understand, they reject the only source that can get them salvation.
Mm-hmm.
They've rejected him wholesale, mm-hmm. calling the bastard son of Mary,
mm-hmm.
and a Roman blah, blah, and blah, blah, this and that, and blah, blah. They're going to hell.
I understand.
So other than that, no, I don't have a problem with them.
So now what about Jean-Claude? Is he going to hell?
Well, I haven't heard out of him, but I don't believe I've seen him out here on the streets with a picket sign warning his neighbor that his sin has taken him to hell. Mm. So that's a first strike against him. But what's the deal with the black? What's the deal with the movie? Is it a movie or a play or what?
Yeah, I'm going to let you talk about your own film if you like.
Well, first and foremost, I just got to clarify something. Are you a black woman?
She's
clear.
Japanese.
Okay.
I sound like a black woman?
I don't know.
A little.
Well,
I'm a civil rights lawyer. My dad and my 11 siblings that are lawyers pioneered civil rights in the state of Kansas. So in some
state of Kansas,
mm-hmm.
you're definitely not a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
Definitely not.
No. Well, my film actually chronicles the last 48 hours of Jesus Christ's life. It's very true to scripture. The only difference in our film is that he's portrayed by a black man.
Oh, so he's just, you mean you just have a black actor playing it?
This is all.
You're not saying that Jesus Christ was a black man.
Oh, I'm saying, well, yeah, obviously.
Well, it's a black actor
it's a
playing
black
him,
act,
yeah.
You know, of course.
Right, you can have a black actor playing him.
Yeah, it's you know, there are inferences in the film that Jesus may very well have
been. Wait a minute, why can you have a black actor playing him?
Well, why not? You have every other man or freak playing him. You have fags playing him. You have
freak.
Huh. Have you seen the Jesus Christ Superstar? I mean,
yeah.
If they can freak that out, if they can do that and pass that off as a good movie, why can't a black actor do that?
All right. Yeah. Well,
but
you're...
if you're suggesting that Christ was black, but what is this? Don't you see?
Well, when you take
guys
a black man,
in the minutia. You're down in the
hold on. When Mario Van Peebles is playing Jesus Christ, you're suggesting a black man is Jesus Christ. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you got to do the math. So
you're
I think they're
suggesting
saying
there is no God, Adam. What about you?
Well, look, I know there's no God. Yeah. You cling to some truth that there is, but you have nothing. Otherwise, you wouldn't be protesting this much. Otherwise, you wouldn't really care. You wouldn't make the signs, and you wouldn't go
to
the funerals. You wouldn't complain. You would just know it in your heart. It's something called confidence, and when people have that, they don't brag.
Yeah.
Let me explain something, loudmouth. Hold on a second. When people are very confident in what they have, they don't talk about it that much. The guys that are insecure, those are the guys that are talking about fighting all the time. The guys that actually kick ass, there's no quieter people really outside of the ring than boxers. Boxers are super polite guys. The guys who really can do damage with their hands, super friendly. Yeah, that's right. The martial artists, the mixed martial artists, the kung fu guys, all very quiet guys outside. And then when it comes time to do something, they'll kill you with their thumbs. But until then, they don't talk about it. Now, who are the guys who do a lot of talking, a lot of jawing? Brusca's buddies. 5'7", they get juiced up and they start screaming after a Mets loss. And then there's trouble. Those are the ones who talk about. Hold on, Brusca.
You could be more accurate to say me.
I'll just say Brusca. Yeah, you're right. I probably should have, but it would have been too uncomfortable. But yes, Brusca. My point is when you're very confident about something, when you know in your heart of hearts that this is a truth, you don't need to talk about it. You don't need to print up signs and head down to funerals. You don't need to convert folks at the mall or folks at your kid's school. You don't need to do any of it. You don't even come on the radio and talk about it. When you know it, then you're confident, then you shut up. But when there's a little kernel of question, just a little question mark about it, then you start blabbing about it, because what you're trying to do is convince yourself through convincing other people. And this is what religious people do. They don't believe it. Oh, they believe it a little bit, but there's a kernel of doubt in their head. When grandpa dies and they do all the, hey, one day you guys are going to be reunited, there's a part of them that knows there's a very good chance that's never going to happen. So what do? They try to convert you. They protest too much. They overcompensate, and that's
are
what Shirley is.
You had my mic off all this time?
Yes. Because I know you don't believe it, Shirley. I know you don't believe it.
First of all, you rest your own case. You do all that blathering about how you're so confident there is no God and blah, blah, blah. Here's the deal, dude. What I'm confident of is that I belong out on that street with that picket sign, and because when I stand on the street with the picket sign, no jackass can cut my mic.
Listen, bro. I say if you're really secure with your relationship with your God, you'd shut up and take care of your family and stop protesting at funerals.
It is part of taking care of my family, and it is part of my relationship with God to get my ass out on that street with that picket sign.
Listen, guy. Listen, guy, dude, bro.
Champ.
There's a part of you, Shirley. There's a part of you that if I had some sodium pentothal and a French tickler, I could get it out of you. There's a part of you that would weep like a newborn because you don't believe. There's a part of you that you keep buried under so many Bibles and so much scripture and so much hate talk that you'll never let it see the light of day, but it's in there, and I could get to it. All if right, I could thanks. Play my John Mark Carr song for you all several right, thousand thanks. Times like we're playing John from Arizona, if I could play this, too. And I'll put you in my sensory deprivation tank, I will get it out of you if I have to tickle it out of you.
Have you cut my mic again?
Yes.
Oh. Okay, if I could shut you up and play my Marine song for you, then...
Oh, no.
I do kind of want to hear the Marine song.
After her last song, I was depressed for days.
Let's hear it.
I didn't sing the Army one last time. I sang the Army one last time, not the Marine.
It was horrible.
We heard the Army song. Brusca, what has happened to you?
Huh?
When Brusca got soft.
I don't want you to do it.
Brusca
got
soft. I
hate this song.
We heard the Army song last time. This is the Marine song.
With her kids.
This is a totally different branch of the military. Right. Let's hear it.
Totally different.
Let's hear it, Shirley.
Oh, the kids are all great.
Army song.
Schwimmer needs to talk to those kids.
I got to get my sidekick here that'll help me sing.
Oh. Is that your child?
Guys. All the children are out of
school. What is your major malfunction, numbnuts?
Hold on.
She has quite a few kids, ready? I understand.
We're going to sing Halt of Montezuma.
No.
Oh, no, this
Uh-oh.
Is terrible.
This is not good.
Not good.
Three, four. From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli.
Okay.
Fighting this vile nation's battles has made God your enemy. First to fight for Jesus, then for sinners God and me. Shame on those who claim the title of United States Marines.
I'm expressing my inner anguish through the majesty of song.
U.S.
bag, they are coming home in bags.
Oh, yeah.
With the IED, God's blown them up. No toes left for their toe tags. If the Army and the Navy ever gaze on health,
we gotta get them cable.
They would find the streets are loaded up with United States Marines.
Awesome, huh? That
yeah,
was
it's good stuff. Shirley?
Yes?
Can I talk to one of your kids?
Which one?
The youngest.
Well, I wouldn't let you talk to the little guy.
All right, let me... You're a little... Medium.
I'll let you talk to my daughter.
Let me talk to her.
That's 19.
All right.
You can be funny
because
without making fun of someone else.
She's not a porn star.
Okay. What's her name?
Her name is Rebecca.
Rebecca.
Let's call her Little Prophetess.
Real... Oh. Little
prophetess.
sorry, Bob.
Hello.
Hey, Rebecca.
Yes.
I'm gonna need you to run. Your mom.
Oh, now you're just original.
She's loony as a
tune.
You
are the most original person I have ever met in my entire life.
I'm gonna come over there with an unmarked van. It'll be in gray primer. It's the one I use for cult extraction, and I'm gonna take you out of that hell that you're living in right now. Your brain has been washed.
Oh, yes, I know. Daily, they wash my brain every single day. I don't know how I survive.
Your mind is not your own.
I know it.
You should be... You're 19?
Yeah, I'm
you
19.
Should be at the
and I know how to read. Can you believe that? I know how to read at
right,
19.
But the only thing you get to read is the watchtower. Now, listen
and
to
I
me.
I know a pervert when I hear one.
Oh, baby.
Is Adam a pervert?
Don't worry about what I do to
She's
you.
She's got you. She got you, Peg.
Listen, don't worry about my cleansing techniques I use in the van. That's my business. That's between me and my God. But I'll get Jesus out of you one way or the other, even if I got to use the back door.
I don't think I want to talk to you anymore.
Now, they'll listen to me.
Oh. Hey, have you seen SciMovies.net? I have a movie on there, SciMovies.net. It's called God Hates You. That's my sign.
Rebecca,
you it, okay?
Look, your mind has been poisoned by your evil mother.
Hello.
Cheryl?
What did you do?
Teenager talk. We're talking mostly about Ashton Kutcher. I said he was dreaming. She said,
nasty.
Ew. All right.
You don't have any interest in hearing.
All right, Shirley.
All right.
I can't help it. I do. I, in a way, I feel sorry for you and your kids.
Because
I really
you are
do.
A bond slave to your filthy manner of life.
Huh?
Now I hate your guts, you whore. Didn't take much to turn me around.
Well, our guest probably knows a lot about Jesus, having just made a movie, The Color of the Cross. Isn't Jesus all about loving his fellow man?
Absolutely.
I think that says it all. The more you know. Jean-Claude Lamar, Color of the Cross, in select markets starting Friday. That is a week from this Friday. And then nationwide on November 10th. Yes. Thanks for coming in, T.
Thank you very much.
What's coming up in the news?
Well, if you thought Shirley hates the Jews, wait till you hear Michael Jackson in a voicemail that he didn't think would get out. He has some harsh words for my people. And also, speaking of harsh words, Heather Mills is accusing Paul McCartney of unspeakable things, and I'll tell you what they are.
Oh, I wait with bated breath. We'll do that after this.
You asked for it, now you've got it. Less ads, more Adam. The Adam Carolla Show. Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Here's a list of celebrities who are not celebrating a birthday today. It's not Gary Coleman's birthday. No birthday cake for REO Speedwagon's frontman, Kevin Cronin. And it's definitely not Mike Ditka's birthday. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Actually, it is Ditka's birthday today. I saw it in the USA Today. I like to think of myself as pretty benevolent, but someone's going to have to be fired. We've now done this 6 or 7 times, celebrities that weren't celebrating a birthday, and each and every time, there's been at least one that was celebrating a birthday. How tall an order is it to find 3 celebrities that aren't celebrating a birthday? Well, evidently, it is taller than I thought. This really saddens me. Also, we have John, who drove in from Arizona. He's been listening to John Mark Cars Falling. Brusk is taking a real shining to him because he's yelling at him through the headphones. Are you awake? Are you awake? And then, I don't want you falling asleep. it doesn't matter if he falls asleep. First off, what is sleep when you're hearing this and you have that shade over your eyes? And if he falls asleep, it'll burn deeper into his psyche. What I would like you to do, Brusket, is to pull his headphone aside and tell him it's 7:15 a.m. and only 2 hours and 45 minutes to go.
Oh, that's so cruel.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Thanks. Thanks a lot. There he goes, Brusket, gonna tell him.
Only 2 more hours to go. Hang in there.
Oh, no.
His friend who drove out with him from Arizona is asleep in the green room.
You're halfway home.
As an added bonus, the guy gets to enjoy Brusca's Capicola breath.
I don't know what Capicola is, but does it smell like ass?
Look, if it's food or it's inert, Brusca will put it in his mouth. And yes, that is true. Brusca's widened his range of things he can consume, not only from things that you and I would eat, but just inert gases and products, things that won't kill you. He told me you could eat styrofoam packing peanuts the other day and certain soaps.
Check and check.
All right. Well,
eating and eating until there's nothing left.
I do have the feeling, and I will follow this up, that 20 years from now, I can call up John from Arizona, who's heard this song 20,000 times, and just play this into the phone, and he will kill. He'll know that means to kill the president. And I'll get off scot-free. We'll have no leader, but I'll be laughing like a hyena. All right, T, what's coming up in the news?
I don't know if you've heard of him, but John Mark Carr. Yes, the man who sang Falling at a Wedding many years ago. He was interviewed by a TV psychiatrist named Dr. Keith Ablo, who does a syndicated show. And of course, John Mark Carr was in the news because he was a suspect in the JonBenet Ramsey killing. He's been exonerated. Anyway, John Mark Carr's lawyer is saying that this interview is bogus because this TV psychiatrist people wined and dined him. They got him drunk before the interview. But we have a portion of the pre-interview, which
I think you could get that guy drunk with a thimble of mouthwash, by the way. He's so spindly.
He is. Here's part of the secretly taped pre-interview, and here's what he had to say.
Are you willing to say on camera that it is morally wrong for an adult to be with a child romantically?
I'm not touching that.
You won't say it's wrong?
I'm not touching that subject.
I'm giving you the opportunity to say it is morally wrong for an adult to be with a kid.
I'm not going to answer that question.
Yeah, you don't want to incriminate yourself. I got tricked into saying I thought molesting kids was wrong once, and I still can't live it down this very day.
Well, it's very confusing what's going on with John Mark Carr, because he was exonerated about the kiddie porn thing because they couldn't find the computer. All I know is he is out.
The good news is, too, he's just going to be at McCabe's playing acoustic set out here in Santa Monica.
He does have a nice voice.
Yeah, get out there. Support the arts, people. Look, a lot of these guys have questionable activities outside of the studio or off the stage. You know what I mean?
Right.
You got directors that are feeling up 14-year-olds. Yeah, to Woody Allen is going out with his stepdaughter. We don't judge. The point is they're wonderful artists, and we must support that.
Another wonderful artist accused of being a pedophile, Michael Jackson. He's in the news now, again, for saying that his lawyers are conspiring against him. He thinks that his lawyers are trying to, you know, get money out of him and defraud him. Here is a little snippet of a voicemail message that Michael Jackson left for one of his advisors. Now, because it's a voicemail and this is a recording, you can't. The beginning is a little hard to hear, but he's saying they suck on like leeches. He is, of course, talking about the Jews.
They sucked on like leeches. I was so tired of it. They start out the most popular person in the world, make a lot of money, big house, cars, and everything, end up with penniless. It is conspiracy. The Jews do it on purpose.
Well, look, I hate to say this, but so everyone's always known the blacks and the Jews are a little bit of the Hatfields and the McCoys of society. It's unclear to me still why these people aren't big fans of each other, or more specifically, why the blacks don't like the Jews. I'll give you a theory in a second. But if Michael Jackson, a man who's essentially white, hates the Jews, well, then it's official. All blacks hate Jews. If he can hate, if the black man, Michael Jackson, the world, the man who loves the world's children, if he can hate the Jews, well, then they all do. Let's face it. Sorry, guys. I'm sorry you had to hear it from me. Here's what I suspect. They've both been through quite a bit in their life. And there's nothing worse. And, you know, the blacks are always talking about slavery and oppression and segregation and all that stuff. But the Jews can always trump them because they have the Holocaust and theirs goes back a few thousand years. There's nothing worse than when you're in a, you know, when you're in a room and you're going, hey, what's the problem, Ace? Why are you walking with the limp? Oh, man, I kicked the edge of the bed frame and I stubbed the hell out of my toe. And everyone goes, ooh, that's painful. Yeah, that can hurt. And then a guy comes in and goes, yeah, I got a compound fracture in my femur. And you hate that guy because he stole your thunder. I feel that's what's going on with the blacks and the Jews. I think the Jews are stealing the blacks' thunder, and that's why they don't like them.
Well, listen, my mom, a Jew, married a black man. They were happily married for many years. So some of them can make it work. Hmm. We don't all hate each other.
All right.
See, happy ending. Not a happy ending for Paul McCartney and Heather Mills. Now, unfortunately, time is short, so I can only get to a few of the allegations that the ex-model is making against Paul McCartney. This, fresh off PerezHilton.com, she is saying some horrible things about Paul McCartney, mainly having to do with him getting violent. He shoved her into a bath. He grabbed her by the neck and pushed her down over a coffee table. He spilled a bottle of red wine on her. Then he broke the wine glass and lunged at her with the stem.
Yeah.
He then told her there would be no breastfeeding, and he said, allegedly, quote, they are my breasts. I don't want a mouthful of breast milk. Okay, now, this one particularly
McCartney's
stood out.
An animal.
This particularly stood out.
It's out of control.
Mills, Heather Mills, was having, like, some surgery on her legs, which, of course, she had a horrible accident and has to wear a prosthetic leg. Mills asked McCartney if she could buy an antique bedpan to keep under the bed at night so she wouldn't have to crawl to the bathroom when her leg was not fitted. McCartney objected, saying it would be like being in an old woman's home. Would prefer that she would have to crawl to the bathroom.
I like the idea that the Wuss Beetle's turning into a badass.
Really?
Someone's just picturing him in a turtleneck with a vest, you know, just looking like a puss playing the bass. I like the new side of him. He should come out with a speed metal album.
Well, this divorce is getting very, very ugly. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
You can be funny without making fun of someone else.
Thanks, Schwimmer.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
I always had a hunch McCartney had a leg up in that relationship.
Oh.
All right. Game 5 of the National League Championship Series
stuff.
Last night.
That was better than Black Jesus.
Give me a rim shot.
It's true.
Mets and Cardinals went into Game 5 last night, tied at 2 games apiece. Cards came out of it with the win, thanks largely to ex-Dodger and Angel pitcher Jeff Weaver. Quick review. Before the playoffs began, I picked the Dodgers and Yankees to meet in the World Series. They, of course, combined to win one total game. Mm-hmm. Then, Teresa was kind enough to force me into picking, to re-picking.
Well, you're so good at football picks.
Wow. I picked the Mets and A's in the World Series. Now we're one St. Louis game win away from a Cardinals-Tigers World Series. And I'm not jiving about this. The Cards and Tigers team officials ought to be begging me not to pick their team.
Yeah.
You know? I am open. I can be bought. Listen, I don't have any pride. I've got a kid on the way.
You got a kid on the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Extra mouth to feed,
yes,
please.
Yes, that's the biggest news of all. I should have mentioned that.
Call me up.
You got a bagel in the oven.
That's right.
It's when a Jew's pregnant. That's what they call it.
We call it a bialy.
A bialy in the oven.
All right, something I didn't get to about Monday Night Football yesterday because we were too busy listening to Arizona Cardinals head coach Dennis Green break down emotionally.
We thought they were. Mm-hmm. We played them in the third game. Everybody played 3 quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. That's why
stuff.
We took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
But they are
who we thought they were.
All right,
and
Dan.
We let them off the hook.
All right, settle down.
This is why we need black coaches in the NFL. Forget about the strategy part. This is the
He's
part.
Intense.
Because look, you got what's his name over there, Dick, whatever. The Rams, they just cry. Yeah. White guys just cry, and the tuna just sits there and plays everything close to the vest. We need black coaches so they can freak out and pound the podium.
Well, lost in that awful loss to the Cardinals was. I love Monday Night Football's thing where they have one player from the team introduce the roster. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, they had Matt Leinart, the QB of Arizona, obviously former USC guy. Here he is introducing the offense.
Starting up front, we got big Leonard Davis at left tackle. Reggie Wells alongside him, Nick Leckie at center, Chris Lewinsky and Oliver Ross anchoring that line.
All right, you get it. So anyway, I think it's a good idea as long as the player is articulate, which is why this one stood out. The Chicago Bears offense was introduced by rookie tight end, a guy who you know, Ace, Oswaldo Castillo. Mm. Take a listen.
Hi, I am Ace Castillo. Here he introduces my Chicago Bears teammate. And the quarterback, they have a Gurney, Red Strongman, great duo and wide receiver, Bertrand Berrien and Fresno State, and Musin Muhammad from Michigan State, or running back in Thomas Young from the University of Virginia. The offensive line is anchored by North Center, Olin Creus, and the leader in the all defense is Mustard in the midway, is Brian Unleacher.
Well, I will say this, he is a devastating blocker.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
All right, when we come back, we're going to do a little something called Kung Flute. Yes.
Yeah.
Anyone who's seen any Kung Fu movies or Karate Kid movies or any movies like this knows when the Asian flute kicks in, that's how you know the guy's not lying. That's how you know it will be. When the guy explains that one day he will exact revenge on behalf of his father, and you hear this fire up in the background, well, you know somewhere in Act 3 this is going to happen. They will meet again. Nobody here, no one makes a proclamation with the Asian flute behind him that doesn't come to fruition very soon. As a matter of fact, I would like to travel with an Asian flautist just so people knew what I meant. You know what I mean? Where when I was talking to my wife and I said, look, I'll water the pots this time, but next time you don't water the pots, we're getting a divorce. Beat late, but yes, you understand what I'm saying. You know what I mean? And then later on today, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get into a magical flying slipper and I'm going, yes. Well, now a little couple beats early, Brian. But you know, you get the idea. We're going to work it out during the commercial break.
Harry Carey for Brian. He never makes mistakes.
I know. Well, he may be on, maybe on the downward slide. We'll take ourselves a quick break. I think you guys should call in. I want to hear your proclamations, your crazy proclamations that will come to fruition via the sound of the Asian flute. That's what I'm saying.
You can be funny without making fun of someone else.
Sorry, Baldy. 866-901-ADAM. Call in. We'll do a little Kung Flute after this.
This is what's coming up tomorrow morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
Yo, peeps, check it. We got the band Warrant to come in and play a special acoustic version of our stripper song, Cherry Pie. Hey, everybody, we got T on stage five. Quit your grinning and drop your linen. Businessman's lunch. Deborah stage two. Hey, sweet. Maybe we can get Heth's girlfriends from the girls next door to take off their clothes. They'll be in, too. And, hey, find out how you can win tickets to the Playboy Mansion. More boobs, less tune. Late.
Thanks, Jack. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Mm-hmm. Well, we still have John, who's in his sensory deprivation, hearing John Mark Carr song over and over again. Blacked out. Unclear what state he's in, but we'll have him read a prepared statement before the show is over. We'll be unmasking him in just a couple of few. But first, the Asian flute. Do we have an intro for this? Let's hear it.
What happens in a man's life is already written. Man must move through life as his destiny wills.
Kung Flute.
Kung Flute. It struck me that when you hear the Asian flute in the background, it means you ain't lying. Mm. Yeah? Don't believe me, listen to these clips.
And if you throw any American sass his way, he'll snap your back and your neck like they were twigs. And that will be the story of you.
Yeah, I'd be like, are you kidding, old man? And then as soon as I hear the flute fire up, oh my God, look out.
It was David Carradine in Kill Bill 2.
Right? I'd like to, do we have another one? I think we have another one.
Let him go.
Yeah, this Fiat is right. Let him go.
I say, let him go.
Beat it, Flo, or you're next.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to bring, I'd like to hire myself an Asian flautist full time. I feel like he'd pay for himself. let me give you a scenario. I get audited by the IRS. Well, look, in your deductions, Mr. Carolla says you have a home office. Yes, that's true. And it says here that you spent $126,000 on whiteout last year. That's true. I said it's true. 1,000 pardons, Mr. Carolla. 126,000 doesn't sound like enough. I'm going to round it up to 150. You have a good day. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, imagine, too, one day, old lady catches you. You come home. She's been checking out your MySpace. You've got over 100 pictures of your penis on your MySpace account. There's lipstick on your collar. You smell of cheap perfume, and you're wearing those stupid, shiny sprinkles they all wear. She accuses you of cheating at the front door. She's calling you a two-timer and a cheater. Honey, I don't even know what you're talking about. I've never even turned on the computer or been to a strip club. Don't believe me? Pot roast or meatloaf tonight, sweetie? Feel like it could be good, but I also feel like it could be used against me. You know what I mean? My little daughter, Natalia, she's 17. Papa pulls her aside, wants to know if she's still a virgin. Oh, yeah. I said, how about that guy you're dating? He's 28 and he drives a custom van. Come on now. You've been out of the house for 2 weeks now. I didn't even know where you were. Don't tell me you're not having sex. You know, Dad, I am a virgin. Thanks, Kimchi. And then we could start setting up appointments with him. You know, like, look, I'm going out of town for business. Okay, I'm going to need you Sunday night. You just swing
flautist,
by.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to fly out a Sunday night. Swing by. Yeah, and it just keeps going and going. Again, when you hear the Asian flute, you know the man speaks the truth. You know what I'm going to do later after the show? I'm going to invent a car that runs off of good feelings.
Huh.
All right, and I'm going to drive it over to Halle Berry's house, and I will nail her on the hood of it. Don't believe me, Dave? Think you do, don't you? And then you know what I'm done with that? You know what I'm going to do? I am going to design the world's tallest building, and then I will build it, not of steel, but out of marzipan.
Uh-uh.
Oh, yeah? Oh. Tomorrow I'm going to win the L.A. Marathon while giving a piggyback ride to a naked Jessica Alba.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Now who's laughing? I will then eat lead and crap gold bullion.
Impossible.
Oh, yeah. And later, I'm going to build a rocket ship out of a pinball machine. I'm going to fly it to heaven, and I'm going to kick Bob Hope in the nuts.
Now right. You're being silly.
Oh, no. Yes. And then you know what else?
What?
Big Tad will get under 300 pounds.
Oh, come on.
You went too far.
Kimchi says even that one's too tall in order.
He's come laughing on too hard to pick up his flute.
All right. Well, how about this one? I will make sweet love to my lady tonight, and it's going to go on for hours. Come on, Kim. Evidently there's some union or something they have over there where the things can only get so fantastic. Flying the rocket ship to heaven and kicking Bob Hope in the sack. Okay, no problemo there. All right, maybe I pushed too hard. I stretched out. All right, we need to take a break. I know I was going to talk to you guys, but hey, it's me. I'm a pro. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, John, who's been listening to John Mark Carr's falling for the last 4 hours, is now in danger of falling off his stool. We'll read his prepared statement after this.
Hey, this is Norm McDonald. You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Please do not call him. He doesn't care for that sort of thing.
Quickly, John, who's been listening to John Mark Carr on a loop for the last 4 hours, Bruskett, pull the cans off him, pull the mask off him, and have him read the prepared statement. The light is screwing him up. John, we have You're getting Playboy tickets. That's the good news. The bad news is you have to focus on a quick prepared statement. So
okay.
Just read that like a hostage would, please.
I would first like to tell my family that I'm alive and in good health. I say to the world that my captors were fair, and I thank them for their treatment. I urge the world to see the plight of the people who held me captive and hope that through the music of LeBlanc and Carr, we can end the aggression of the world by colonialists, Zionists, and pedophiles.
Thank you. John, nice work, buddy.
Thank you.
So, now, what did it feel like for you there? Did it feel like 4 hours? Did it feel like 10 minutes? Or can you tell?
Honestly, anywhere between 4 hours and 40 days.
Really?
Yeah.
He looks rough.
You're
I gotta
scrambled.
Say.
All right, I'm gonna ask that you shotgun a beer and immediately get behind the wheel and head back to Arizona. Thank you. We'll see you at the Playboy Mansion.
All right.
Kick your buddy who's napping in our green room in the nuts for me. I want to thank Louis C.K. for coming in here today. Henry Fonda, Music Box Theater, November 4th. Yeah, I was gonna thank Jean-Claude, but forget it. He was a dud. Let's be honest.
Thanks for nothing.
Thank myself for coming up with that funny flute bit, though. That was good stuff. Yeah, how about I give a shout-out to the Ace Man? Why not? Think I'm lying? Kimchi? I don't think so. All right, until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.